Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Read us where we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quiet don't seem able. We're off the bag in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Caesar's the Terrible! All rise for King Caesar's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table! the Turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Woohoo, and we're live. So, I don't consider myself to be a prophet in a conventional sense, but back in 2010, I did a couple videos, one of them called Warning to the World and one of them called Bombshell, both of which are really terrible videos as far as actually used a digital voice to read it out. And when you listen to digital voice, it's not natural, so, you know, kind of really hard to listen to. But Warning to the World and Bombshell were two videos that one of them only had 252 views. Of course, it did get 7 likes on it. That was pretty interesting. And then Bombshell only had 211 views. Of course, it also got 7 likes. Well, neither of which video really ever took off anywhere, and people really didn't get the information. But the things that were talked about in those particular videos, you actually see him come to pass now today. There's a term out there called deep fake, and what it has to do with is essentially being able to graft your face and your voice onto something else and basically make it look and sound as if you just said something you didn't say. And that's what I was trying to warn the world about in the video called Bombshell. I'll post both of the links. They're kind of, like I said, they're terrible videos. They're not really well made. I wasn't really a video maker, but it was back in 2010 when I was telling everybody about the switch from digital to analog TV. And I told everybody in the video that you got to be really careful about the news that you see, because of the way that you can digitally manipulate video and audio with basically digital TV. I mean, if you want, you can put yourself on the moon. You can be running around dancing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff on the moon, and it looks like you're there. It's pretty amazing. You know, some of the virtual reality technologies available today is getting really good. I got my son Mark here today. Say hi, Mark.
Hello, guys.
Alright, my son Mark, he's a video gamer, and he's watched the evolution of graphics from the time that he was a child all the way up to modern day age. So what do you think about those graphics, Mark?
They definitely enhanced over the years. They look more real.
Yeah, you was playing that cowboy game the other day, and it's like you're actually sitting there with a joystick driving around real people and riding horses.
Yeah, you can interact with a lot of the NPCs on there now.
So you can actually have, like, conversations with them and stuff. It's pretty wild.
The thing that blows my mind about it now is if you're playing online, it keeps a lot of your stats. And I've noticed it's changed like that since the Call of Duty days.
Well, you know, and I also thought about something about those first-person shooter games that, like you mentioned, Call of Duty. When you're out there doing battle, whether or not it's almost like a training simulation to, you know, you got really awesome hand-eye coordination. You've been doing this for so many years that you're really good at video games. Me, on the other hand, I had to put video games down because they're too addictive for me.
Oh, yeah.
But I wonder that if an organization like CIA or whatever wouldn't want to keep stats on who is really good in these simulations to basically turn them into digital warriors at one point.
Well, the military's already been doing that. They had a shop somewhere in the mall on the West Coast where they had people go in and swipe a card and had all their information on it and keep a hold of their stats. They had them in-game.
Well, that's another thing that I had warned everybody about in the movie Warning to the World and Bombshell, was that they were basically cataloging everybody that gets on the internet. And the terms of service, when you sign software or you get software that you want to use on your computer, well, it says in there that they'll track you around the internet. They'll put, like, basically everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and most people don't read those terms, and they actually give these companies the permission to spy on them.
Well, to sell your information to other companies, too.
Yeah, for marketing or whatever. And I also mentioned about how, you know, if you actually look at Google and you watch how Google works, Google's pretty impressive technology. It will actually spell check you and find results before you ever even finish typing the doggone word.
Yeah.
And it keeps track of where you're going, and it basically, when you type in the first couple letters or something, like sometimes just the first letter is enough, it'll pop up what you're getting ready to search for.
I could be saying something about McDonald's one day, and then 5 minutes later it'll show up on Facebook as an advertisement.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy about it.
One of the TV manufacturers even said that they had a system set up where there was a microphone in the TV that they could actually listen in on family conversations. And that you actually had to go in and turn it off if you didn't want to use it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of creepy, you know. You think you're all home alone with your family and somebody's, you know, listening in on your conversations. And then, like you said, you jump on there, watch. I've seen this many times. Folks, you can try this out yourself. I mean, just go anywhere. There's technology around, even in your own home. Just say a few random words about, you know, things you might purchase or whatever like that, and then go watch TV and see if those doggone digital TVs aren't showing you things that they heard you say.
Hulu's been doing that to me a lot lately. I'll be sitting there talking about a movie that's old, and, you know, it won't be on there for months, and then I'll be talking about it, and days later it'll show up.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm excited because I get to watch it, but at the same time, it kind of worries me.
Yeah, at the same time, it's kind of creepy because you got, like, you know, digital cards. So there's a chip in your card now that whenever you go buy something, they can keep track of what you buy. They can keep track of what you go. Believe it or not, that one little chip, I go to Walmart. They know I was at Walmart. And then I go over to maybe Target or something, and I buy something at Target. So I could tell you at this time I was at Walmart, and I traveled from Walmart. They could track the specific path of how I even got there, and then tell you that I'm at Target now.
Oh, yeah.
So without even putting a tracking device on you, the tracking device is your card. They can map out your daily routine with that type of technology.
Yeah, cell phones are bad about that.
Oh, yeah, they can GPS your cell phone and find where you're at. Now, according to the law, they're not supposed to do that, you know, without your permission. But, hey, we know how that works. So we also been joined by Barbara. What do you think of this craziness right now?
Well, hey, everybody. Well, I guess I'm not surprised. Every day there's things that we're becoming more and more aware of, the spying on everything, I guess that you'd say, what we're doing. And this whole fake, you know, the deep fake video threat is already being used. And in the video games, you know, it's all, well, the video games, I think, I talked about this many years ago, about the impact on children, on the brains of children. You know, it's like a brainwashing. You have these video games where, when you get onto that, what do you call it, to go into the game, it's like a virtual reality where you are shooting at people and they're shooting at you, and there's body parts flying all over the place and blood and guts, and you kill somebody and 2 seconds later they're up shooting back at you. And it's really, if you think about it, young people looking at this stuff, what, you know, what's the message there? But this forgeries, you know, these forgeries of using a person and then putting words in their mouth, or that it looks like they're saying, this is already being used. You know, it's very advanced.
Well, let's pause to the video game thing for a second. They digitize. You can actually have yourself digitized and put into a video game.
Into the video game.
And when these folks, me and my son used to sit around and play this game called Vice City, and it was kind of funny because you can go in there and you can do all kinds of things that you obviously would not do in real life. But in some sense, it actually desensitized you to, you know, going around committing violence or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Well, exactly, and it's like, it's a definite you know, level of brainwashing allowing you to commit violence and murder and blow people up, and what does that do to your brain, of course, but it's so real that your brain can't detect whether it's false or real. It just, you know, basically follows suit to whatever you're doing. But it's a sort of like an imprint to make it easy to blow people up. You become, like you say, desensitized.
Well,
for sure.
If it came down to it, my son, Mark, I guess if he was ever to have to go to the battlefield, he'd be a really good warrior, because his hand and eye coordination with those video games is insane.
Well, you know, I just want to say one more thing, and I'll let Mark speak about, you know, because I hear he wants to say something, is when you're saying, okay, these video games are virtual reality, they take you in, and specifically what they're taking you into is a violent circumstance, violent situation. They're not taking you in where you're out, where you're planting seeds in a garden, or dancing, or helping somebody on the street. It's not that.
No.
They don't introduce that kind of thing. It's all about violence and manipulation. That's how I see it.
Well, and they also have a lot of drugs and guns and all kinds of other stuff involved in there, even sex, because there's one.
Well, there's a porn. This started out.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Grand Theft Auto Online's the worst one now. I mean, there's two types of people that will play. There's people that have fun, but there's a huge majority of people online that you can really see the anger come out of them, and they'll just terrorize people online.
Oh, yeah, they get mad. And some of the, I actually listen to, because Mark has a headset where you can actually talk to these people. You can interact with them while you're doing this. And some of these guys, some of these kids, they don't sound very old on there, and their mom and dads are allowing them to play these games and not monitoring. These kids are saying some words that you know, would make a sailor blush, if you understand what I'm saying. So,
well, it's like, I'm just looking at this one link I popped into the chat, the deep fake video threat, and it says this is an impressive bit of voodoo. It's being put to some devious uses. Porn, naturally, was an early one. There were specialized apps can superimpose anyone's face on a relevant performer's body with unnerving ease.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy, because, like I said, I said it way back in 2010. I was trying to warn people about that switch from analog to digital. I mean, granted, digital is a better picture. All right, but the fact that you can actually manipulate it so easily, and with modern day software, one of the things that one of these videos, I posted two videos over there in the Shaziz chat room, was they were talking about how if you as a citizen have access to this good of technology, imagine what the corporations and the governments have behind the scenes that is maybe light years better. It's kind of like when we get software, we're getting like the old versions of it, and they've got the new ones that are not going to come out until, you know, they get their money's worth out of the first one. You see what I'm saying? Like the difference in the phones?
Yeah. Well, apparently in the beginning, you could actually detect a fake video, because there were things going on in that video, like flickering, you know, the face was flickering, and original features were occasionally popping into view. But now they're getting so, you know, adept at this that it's getting more and more difficult to detect whether this is fake or real.
Well, and that's what worries me the most about this, is because, you know, a lot of times if they want to go to war, they got to convince the citizens to go to war, because obviously the citizens are the soldiers. You got to get them want to go to war. Well, if you start showing videos of really terrible atrocities, and you're tugging on their anger and their heartstrings, and you got a kid like my son Mark, who's obviously a really loving soul, and, you know, he wants to protect his country, and he sees these terrible things, he's going to be more apt to want to join the military to go out there and fight against this darkness, this evil, you know. And he's got the skill, because he's already been spent years playing these video games. His hand and eye coordination is mind-blowing. I mean, if you put
the deep state or whomever looks for people like that. Yeah. They know what you're doing. They know your skills.
Well, that's why they catalog you. They catalog his video games when he's playing online.
It counts you by accuracy and what all you use and how you do it.
Tell him some of your stats.
Oh, off stats, I can't really. I mean, I'm really good at sniping. I'll tell you that right now.
See?
Well, we'd want you on in our camp for
sure. Yeah, be on our team. Oh, shoot.
Don't go with the government. Stick with your dad.
Like I said, my son's really loving soul. He's not wanting to go out and want to start trouble or violence or anything like that, but you got to see where the training comes in. Years ago, they had flight simulators, and the flight simulators would teach the pilots how to basically fly before they ever got into a real plane. And now, the modern-day flight simulators, you would swear up and down you were actually in a plane, because these things turn upside down and do all kinds of stuff that you feel the G-forces, you can see on the screen what's going on, and you feel like you're actually in that plane. So the same thing could apply with these video games, the way that the graphics are just immaculate. Every time I walk past and watch him playing that video game, I'm blown away by how realistic the people look. Now, there's still a tinge of where you can see that it's obviously a digital animation because of the way they make these graphics. But every year you watch, these graphics get more realistic, and they're going to get to a point sometime where you're not going to be able to tell that person on TV the difference between somebody that you're looking directly in the face at.
Well, now we're living in the virtual reality era, because PlayStations now have VR headsets.
My God, I would never put one of those on.
Yeah, it's different, but yeah, it definitely puts you into it.
So you
actually... It's interesting that you say you would never do that, but there are, unfortunately, people that are ready and willing to jump into that type of technology, you know.
And back to, like, the kids playing, you know, the younger kids, they do play the GTA Online a lot, and a lot of the Call of Duty, and the sad thing is there's a lot of older folks on there that'll play it and sit there and talk down on those kids, you know. They'll sit there and say the most filthiest things to them, and that's where the people like me and my friends come in to help them out. Try to help them, you know, get rid of all of them out of the lobbies as much as we can, try to clean them out. You know, there's a lot of people that are just trying to play it to have fun, you know, but yeah, there's a lot of people in there. I've seen things as far as them go on there playing, and if they lose a few rounds, they'll go on there and hack their modem straight from their system.
Yeah, and cyber stalking. They'll actually stalk people from, you know, game to game or room to room.
I had somebody from Kansas City pull up my own address and stuff from just me taking them out in a couple of rounds of GTA a couple times, you know. They're able to pull up my Facebook, because in order to play some of those games, you have to link it to your Facebook profile.
Oh, and that's another thing, too. Facebook, Google, YouTube, all these different platforms. I told on the radio show, I don't remember which one it was back, might have been Knights of the Round Table, but Facebook and Google actually forced me to sign in via Facebook in order to get onto my Google account.
Yeah.
Or onto another account that I had as well. And those accounts weren't related. But if you didn't sign in, it wouldn't let you get past the deal. And at the time, I had no idea, how in the heck am I going to get past this brick wall? You know, I need to get on this particular site that I'm, you know, subscribed to, and I can't get on there unless I sign through Facebook or Google. That's crazy.
Well, I notice a lot of things, too, nowadays. In the last couple of months, they're doing second verification now. So you not only do you have to verify it through one thing, you got to verify it through another, the device, too.
Yeah, they actually call you on your phone and leave a code that you got to type in. That's one of the ways they do it.
But, well, there's a remark here in the chat from Mermaid Mama, sort of a question. She says, so is that the point of Q? To channel people into fighting for good because of the disclosure about the child abuses and sacrifices?
That could very well be exactly what's going on. There's a lot of people out there that are good, that, believe it or not, in the government, there are good people. You know, in every organization, there are good people. And there are people who saw the writing on the wall well ahead of time and knew that things were coming down the line. Now, I can't sit here and say that, you know, Trump is a total good guy, because I don't know. I mean, how could I know? I can't even talk to the man. I can't call the White House and say, I'd like to talk to the President of the United States, because he's unavailable. You know, no matter what I do as a citizen, I'll never get to talk to him unless something is important enough for them to pull me into that circle. You see what I'm saying?
That's not the way it should be, though.
No, you should be able to contact for things that you're concerned about. They're supposedly your representation.
Well, you can Google thewhitehouse.gov. You can send a letter. Now, I'm not saying Trump is going to respond to you particularly, but
letters. I've got letters from three presidents. Well, actually, two actual letters in the mail, one from Bill Clinton and one from George Bush Jr., and I got an email from Obama, but so far I haven't been responded by Trump, so I'll probably have to send another one. But he probably gets tons and tons and tons of hate mail, and, you know, on the opposite side
as well. You can get on his Twitter account.
Oh, I do. I'm subscribed to him, his son, his wife.
Okay.
I send him a message all the time.
But, keep trying.
Yeah.
But that's interesting about the Q thing, because we kind of were looking at that, questioning that. So it's sort of like another arena to ramp people up to get enraged. It's like the Patriot symbol, the Patriots, you know, fighting whatever it takes for our country, and then who's telling you to fight for your country, who's pointing
yeah.
to the bad guys. That's how we go to war. You know, there's got to be an enemy, and it's always those in authoritarian positions that make the rules. Here, we're going to war because they took down our Twin Towers, or there's weapons of mass destruction over here, or, you know, and what's behind the real reason, you know, is people never find out, but they get their Patriot push, and
well,
they're off they go.
I also said that in 2010 in the video Warning to the World, that if you're a liberal, you're going to be fed liberal disinformation. If you're a conservative, you're going to be fed conservative disinformation. And it goes back to what we were just talking about how they track Mark online, and they advertise specifically to him. If he comes down there and he's talking about specific subjects, you know, like liberal related, they're going to advertise that to him and guide him towards like MSNBC, CNN, and ABC, and all the mainstream media outlets. If it's you and I, we're going to be guided towards Fox. And
well,
so,
go ahead.
So, with that said, that information is specifically tailored to you personally. Even though the government ain't got time to run around and spy on you directly, they still have it all in place for ever comes a day old Shaziz wants to be president. Well, they got so much information on me, they could find a way to manipulate it. And with the way that the digital technology is available, heck, they could make me sound like the worst possible person on the planet.
Yeah, well, I popped in this other link, deepfakes algorithm nails Donald Trump in most convincing fake yet. And it's very fascinating, but again, we, the public, are put in the position to figure this out. Is this real? Is this fake? And boy, they're getting more and more convincing. So how do you go about finding the truths? Of these, you know, now this system, this algorithm, so convincing, it's really a challenge, you know?
Well, it's a very good question, and the scary thing is, the longer, there's going to come a point when we actually cross that borderline between what is real and what isn't real, and that's what scares me the most about the VR goggles. You could get inside that thing right there, and it'd be so realistic, and it like what the doggone Facebook dude said, that they give you a dopamine hit. Like every time you put a comment out there, they will send it back. Hey, look, 10 people liked your comment, and that gets you going back and putting more content out. So they could actually make it like almost like a drug. I mean, literally, they could make it like a drug because they could use frequency waves to make it feel good while you're in there. You actually feel sensation of being in this game.
That's similar to what the Germans made several years back. It was probably about a good 10 years I came across it, but there was audio drugs. There was different types of audio that acted as like peyote and just different, you know, stuff like that. And I know if that's possible, then you could put that kind of
stuff. Oh, it's possible.
Just from using simple sound waves.
Well, it's definitely possible, and I can give you a simple example. There's a lot of people that are just horrified by the sound of fingers going down a chalkboard, all right? And that just causes a physical discomfort, a real sensation. And the same thing applies whenever you hear your favorite music that just kind of makes you want to get up and do something. You have an actual physical reaction to those audio waves. And so, you know, that you could actually put a wave in there that would basically do like what Facebook was talking about, give you a dopamine hit every so often, makes you feel good, you're all energized now. So imagine you get inside this virtual reality and you like it so much, you don't ever leave. And even if you did leave, you would have like flashbacks, almost like you know, somebody who had been on certain types of drugs that have sudden flashbacks of being on this drug. And you wouldn't know whether you was in the virtual world or not. You'd be trying to figure out, am I in the... You'd be grabbing up by your face trying to pull the goggles off, and you wouldn't know.
It's a new form of PTSD almost.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, we've been talking about, are we living in a real world? Is this just a, you know, well, we talk about the Matrix, but if we're all in the Matrix, you know, it's sort of like the things that I'm learning is that what we focus on and, you know, we create, we manifest, and, you know, we're all participating in creating, and the thing is that those in power, I guess you'd want to say, or the authorities or manipulators know this. They know these, I guess you'd say they know how what you believe in, you manifest. What you focus on, you create.
And I know this sounds crazy, but yeah, the media is definitely manipulated because, and then let me go back to a couple of years when all that stuff happened in, I think it was St. Louis when the riots happened. That same day, I remember seeing the Martin Luther King movie, you know, being aired as the trailer. Like, out of all the times for that to happen, you know, it's more than a coincidence.
Yeah, there's too many at one time to just be a coincidence. I mean, one little episode, that's one thing, but...
Then you get people, you know, stirring the pot, like I said, with the video games, you get them there all angry at each other, you know, they want to gun each other down in the virtual world, and if you follow the timeline, man, you got movies like The Purge. Well, where I've been spending a lot of years, the last couple of years in the city, people really took to that movie. And to me, that movie is really not that great of a aspect of it. What was it? The whole point of The Purge was just anarchy. And basically, they basically spend 24 hours going out and just hurting one another.
Yeah, didn't they have like a special day every year?
Yeah.
They
go
out there and
that's, and, you know, that's something, like, talk about an imprint and suggestive, you know. Suggesting that people do, it's like a brainwashing that this is okay to do this, you know.
Yeah, and in their mind it was like to depopulate, you know. It was alright, everything was legal for this one particular day. You can go out and murder and do whatever you want.
And people glorified it. Like, people, a lot of people in the city, where, like I said, where I spent a couple of years at, people loved that movie. They wanted it to happen. They kept talking, well, we're going to have a purge happen. No, we don't need a purge.
No, we don't. But that's the thing about the way that, you know, long time ago they had MK Ultra that was mind control, you know, experiments that were taken out on people, that some of which didn't even volunteer for. They didn't even know that they were being mind-controlled.
Excuse me, but you say a long time ago. You think that it's done?
Well, no, I'm just saying, but
that's when
I very first started hearing about what they then called a conspiracy theory. But everything that we've talked about for years, they're not theories anymore. They're scientific proven fact. They're researched over and over again. And we were demonized back in the day, like the video that I did called Warning to the World and Bombshell, all of which talked about coming events that actually came about. And you could see back then, when you doing all your research, that you could see the writing on the wall and knew that if these things keep going the way that they're going to play out exactly like that video said. Just like what Paul Harvey did. Paul Harvey, you know, he was I think he actually was a prophet, because he explained today's world in graphic detail in 1965. But these folks that are out there in charge, they've had all these years to gather up technology and a data of, man, they probably got, I hesitate to even think about how big the servers are with all the information from you and I and everyone else out here listening that they've gathered up. And it was just here recently that, when I say recently, within the last few years, that the government actually came out and admitted that they were gathering information. Oh, we didn't do it on purpose, you know. Well, yeah, you did. I said back in 2010 that they were actually doing this. They were cataloging everybody and basically getting up as much information about you. And then along comes Facebook, and Facebook got really incredibly popular, and people were sharing information with it. People are gladly going out there and telling their entire family story right there on the social media platform that basically takes all that information and puts it in a file folder with your name and number on it. And so they know who you're related to. And that's why I used to mess with, I still do, I mess with Facebook so bad, because I went out and I accepted any friend that asked me. I even went out and put friend requests out for people I didn't even know. And at one point, Facebook actually asked me, do you really know these people?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I know them all. We're all friends. We're all family, you know. And so I didn't, on my Facebook people, friends out there, I don't know the majority of any of those people. But they, you know, the government obviously knows that now, because I just said it on, but I don't care. Because I was using their platform for advertisement purposes to let people know when there was a Knights of the Round Table show or a Mad Science show coming on, that anybody who was interested could come and listen. You see what I'm saying? I didn't want to put all my family information on there, whereas I do have family who put their information on and pictures of me, and so it all gets blended in together. They know who you're married to. They know who your children are. They know who all your family are. They know what you were fighting about last week, what you're probably going to fight about next week.
Picture, yeah, you take a simple picture on your phone. It has a geo-tracking. You can either disable it, but not a lot of people know that. You know, you have to sit there and tell them that.
Yeah.
You can sit there and take a picture, you know, at a Walmart or something, not even know it, you know, looking in the picture, but you look at the details on it, and it'll tell you exactly what town, what Walmart it's at, you know.
Well, you have we've talked so many times about the clean hands doctrine, and Angeling is talking about that here. And, you know, we have 1984 George Orwell and Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, and, you know, come to the conclusion that these are working, really part of that clean hands doctrine. They tell you everything that's going to happen. They line it all up so perfectly and beautifully, so... You know, they make a movie out of it, or they...
like The Matrix.
The Matrix.
The Matrix explaining what we're talking about right now.
But The Matrix told us, yeah, right outright what was happening. So how many people really got that this is real, and how many people just said, oh, this is like a, you know, fantasy or whatever. You know, there's the difference. The same thing with George Orwell. I mean, we're in this... were in their world, 1984, and everything they said, and including Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, we're in there. We're playing the game right now.
Yeah, that's
and this,
why I
this
say
is a game.
That's why I said on the title of today's show, "Let the games begin," because we're in it now. It's too late.
Well,
it's too late to stop it. But we, if we got the information necessary, we can recognize what's happening and guide ourselves accordingly.
And the angel says, people will not govern themselves until the transition of mind, you know. And, yeah, that's a very key statement. Until the transition of mind, meaning awakening, until they wake up. What's going to make them wake up? You know, I mean, this imprint, the algorithm thing, the fake, you know, all the fake news. Basically, you have the deep fakes algorithm, how it's really showing things that is hard to discern. It's really hard to say, well, that's not real, that's not true. And it's really difficult to say, well, George Orwell's 1984 or The Brave New World is what's going to be happening when they came out. You know?
Well, they had thought crimes in those. They got hate speech today, which essentially is a thought crime. You know, you can't say certain things. You have to be politically correct. And it just seems like a small minority gets by with doing all kinds of atrocities in order to keep the rest of us who are maybe of a different point of view all angry at the situation. And it's basically a divide and conquer kind of tactic that they're using. They could go out there and stop these people from doing, like the Antifa groups going out there beating up on conservatives. They could stop them. The police were standing right there when they were doing this, and they didn't get involved. They just sat back and allowed them, and in some incidences, actually move themselves towards a way to force the conservatives and these other Antifa groups into the same deal, knowing that they're going to start fighting. They wanted them to fight. Just like what Mark mentioned earlier. What was that place that you said they were rioting?
Oh, in St. Louis, back when, I don't know what happened with that whole situation again.
Where they tore up their own town.
Yeah, they were burning churches, and it was happening here in Kansas City, too. People were throwing bricks right off bridges into cars and stuff, and they started spreading. And it reminded me back, like, what was happening, I think it was in 1992, when all that was going on. That was another major riot that happened that spread throughout the United States.
The key is that their mind manipulation and media manipulation, information war that they're playing on the people, actually has real-life consequences. He just mentioned about how there were kids standing up on the doggone bridge throwing bricks, sometimes center blocks, at cars coming down the freeway.
The sad thing is they probably don't even know what they're really doing it for, you know?
No.
They're just doing it because everybody else is doing
because
it.
Because somebody said that somebody was racist, that they think that this gives them the right to go out there and commit crimes and harm people. And you got Maxine Waters standing up there on the dang pedestal. She's a representative of Congress or Senate. I can't remember whether she's a senator or congressman. It's muddied up, but either way, she's sitting there talking about going out and getting into people's faces and telling them they're not welcome in restaurants and stuff like that, and she's getting by with it. As a sitting representative, she should be ousted from that position, because, you know, you or I go into a crowded theater and we shout fire, we're going to jail. That's past your right to freedom of speech. That inciting a riot. You know what I mean?
It's kind of hard when your own president's sitting there being as racist as he can be on public media. You know, he said some things on there that he really shouldn't have. And what's that going to lead for the people?
And you don't even know if that's real. We're talking about these deep fakes.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about how they can make somebody look like they're saying things, or they take things out of context, or they break up the video and take points out and then put them together in a whole other
circumstance. That's the key.
So, in a way, we have to really be careful and not make judgments about people. We have to find our way here to find the truth. And I guess not... So what I'm looking at, for instance, and I've noticed this is in the mainstream media, we know is run mostly by the deep state, and it's a form of brainwashing, and I've noticed people don't think for themselves, they just repeat what they hear or see on mainstream media.
You pointed out something there, Barbara, for a second, you pointed out something there about how they take things out of context. There was many times, like when it had to do with Trump, that Trump would say something, and if you just heard that specific sound bite, you'd swear up and down he was a racist. But if you took and moved the video back and you listened to the entire context of what he actually said, it makes a whole lot. Words matter. It makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And we saw when the video first came out on the mainstream media of Trump mocking a person in a wheelchair, then months later, the real video or the full video came out and showed that that was not happening. But I believed it. I thought it was appalling. Until I saw the full video and how they just pulled out that certain, you know, point in the video and used it to their benefit. And what I'm saying here is that people have no longer, they do not think critically. They can't discern for themselves. They don't do any research. They're not interested because they're so riled up. So the problem has been created. Okay, and the reaction is really strong. We see it. And now they're going to come up with a solution. They want us fighting each other. They want us hateful and angry and spitting on each other and punching each other.
Yeah.
And they're getting there pretty successfully, riling people up. They want us fighting in the streets so that they can create, I guess you could say martial law. Yeah. That might be something. They want people in the streets.
Right.
Fighting.
You basically said what I've been feeling for years.
Yeah, that's what...
The way I see it is World War III is not going to be between the countries. It's going to be between the people within the country because everybody's going to be so angry with each other. And it's already happened. It's been happening. I work in retail, and so I see the way these young kids act nowadays. And it's sad because, you know, if I would have been acting that way, my parents would have straightened me up.
You're right, and I've noticed an uptick, and this is interesting, I've noticed an uptick in the past year of people in fast food restaurants fighting each other, like a mob scene starts to happen in a fast food restaurant. I mean, this has been happening continually, and I said to Patty, I think a couple of months ago, I think it's the food.
I think it's
the food in those fast food restaurants.
Could
These people go ballistic.
Some people are triggered by hats, you know, because the hat's a color and it says Make America Great Again or whatever, so they're triggered by that hat because of what the mainstream media... So that's why I say mainstream media has real life consequences when they're out there basically inciting a riot. If anybody was to be needed to be protest, it's not the government. It's the doggone media who is the mouthpiece for the government. That's where you need to be standing, because I hesitate to think that these folks would probably think twice before shouting out lies. You know, it could be a case of what they call a departmentalization, where basically they don't even know they're lying. You see what I mean?
No. Well, the other thing I've noticed, for instance, on Facebook and various other, you know, arenas where people who seem to be intelligent, or I would say they appear to be intelligent, they appear to be good people, you know, and even some to some degree spiritual people. And yet the things that comes out of their mouth that they're repeating that the mainstream media said is pretty shocking. So what's going on with those people who they're educated, I suppose you could say. Not that I'm saying uneducated people don't do this, but I'm just saying, looking at this particular type of person, they seem intelligent, you know, they're even spiritual people, and they're spewing out mainstream media's stuff that's so hatred and vile, without conscious awareness.
Well, let me tell you something. There was one Catholic and one Christian, a street preacher and a lady that he was talking to. And as she was sitting there basically trying to portray her version of what the Bible said, and he was trying to explain what the Bible actually said, she was dropping out F-bombs and stuff like that. Well, he says, well, please watch the language because there's children around. And she's like, her justification was, oh, well, it's 2019 and we live in California. These kids have heard worse. What?
Yeah, that's sad. That's how it is.
And so, you know, that's why if you listen to people's language these days, here on Shaziz Radio, we self-censor because of out of respect for everyone listening. We don't censor because we don't want you to be able to speak your opinion, because you can obviously hear we allow anybody to speak their opinion. But if you're standing around a group of people and every one of them's dropping the F-bomb like it's going out of style, it is so easy for you to get that that crowd think going on. What the heck they call that?
Well, I call it the wolf pack.
Yeah, and you will start dropping the F-bomb. And it's like, this is what, if I was the devil, I would want a crowd of people to sit around calling themselves Christians, dropping the F-bomb every 5 seconds, because basically, it's not what they're supposedly represent. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to make them look bad.
Yeah, make them look bad.
Well, let's talk about the word. What we're talking about here is the power of word. And yeah, so you'd say, okay, like, you know, the devil would want us to be spewing out this hatred and this vile behavior, because that's the energy that the dark needs. That's food. That's a frequency. That's an energy. And they've been doing this, you know, manipulation for a long time, because they know the power of word. They know what we're talking about here when we say frequency and energies.
There was a certain time when if you said the B word on radio, the FCC would come in and fine you, shut you down, confiscate your equipment, and throw you in jail for saying the B word over the radio, because Granny might be listening, the kids might be listening, and so they had some rules that you just didn't say certain words. Well, move fast forward. You hear it quite often on radio nowadays. You hear it on TV more frequently. And depending on if you get cable or satellite, you're going to hear it even worse than that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But when you sit there and you drop the B word, most people don't even know what that word even means. And they're dropping it. Some women will actually go around and wear shirts that say, proud to be a B, you know. And I'm like, do you even know what that is?
Well, do you know what that's doing to you?
Yeah, it degrades you.
Energetically, it's sort of like, this is the piece that people don't get, is the power. Again, I have to say, the power of words, what you focus on, what you believe, you call to yourself, you create, you manifest it. And they're using this wisdom, this knowledge, to their own gain, and they're manipulating people, you know, to do these various things, to create this chaos, you know, and this hatred. It's pretty intense when you see people spewing out the most absurd, you know, things. They're not even questioning. They're not even saying, well, wait, let me find out, let me do a little research. You know, there's no critical thinking, as I said. Well, you have to question then, where did critical thinking go? What happened to the ability for people to think critically? I mean, I'm talking a level of brainwashing here. I'm talking generations of brainwashing. You know, I think that at one point in my young life, I believed that we were the great country. We were the ones that were the good guys, and everybody else out there on the planet were the bad guys, and we had to go over there and straighten them out. And I believe that because that's what the authorities told me. You know, and when you listen to those authorities, you have to know any authority is in a position to manipulate people, and people believe in authorities. They're in those positions. You know, you even voted them in, and you believe everything they say.
Well, I just Google up the B word, and you know, it depends on how you read it, or which definition that you put on that specific word, but a female dog, a wolf, or an otter is what comes up, a difficult or unpleasant situation or thing. So why would any woman want to intentionally call herself a female dog? I can see why maybe a fox, because back in the day, fox meant a good-looking woman.
But well, that's true.
You see what I'm saying?
Because these women think it's cool. I think they think they're fighting against the system. you know, but they're actually playing in that system, and they're actually accepting what the system's telling them to do.
Yeah.
Demoralizing is the word.
Yeah, there you go. He said it best. Say it louder.
Demoralizing is what they're doing to themselves.
That's exactly right. Demoralizing.
They're showing everyone else that it's all right.
And that becomes a norm.
There's a word that Indian women, indigenous women, have been called from the beginning, and it's called squaw. You know, that there's a squaw over there. The women are squaws. The indigenous women are squaws. That's a very derogatory term. You know, the Indian women don't call themselves squaws because that's a really nasty term. It's not a nice term.
There are other words that men use towards women, like one of them, the C word, which is a really vulgar slang.
Well, that's what squaw means. It's referring to that.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Yeah, but it's very bad.
After a while, you hear this stuff on TV. Like, I said this one time, a long time ago, that there was one of the little kids in our family wants to grow up to be an army man. And I asked him, I said, do you really know what it means to be an army man? And he's like, you're going to go out and, fight the bad guys. Well, we were raised up when I was a kid playing things like cowboys and Indians and army man and cops and robbers. And it was like a game to us, you know. But if you really sit back and really think about that, there are real life consequences to being a real army man. You're going to be told to go out to war. You're going to be fighting against somebody you've never even met before. And possibly they're either going to take your life or you're going to take their life. And so I'm really kind of, I know it sounds crazy, but I get kind of disturbed when I hear a child already thinking that's what they want to be, because that tells me that the media had glorified being an army man to that child. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you remember the Vietnam War. Everybody was sitting down to dinner when the nightly news came on. It was entertainment.
Yeah.
It was, people were getting killed and killing other people, but it was nightly entertainment while you ate your dinner.
Well, after 9/11, the way that was promoted, they basically, you could go around any city and, you know, even in my general area where I'm at, and talk to people, and their opinions would be like, well, we should just go over and turn that whole Middle East into glass. You know, we should just nuke them, you know. And I'm like, do you realize how many people that you just talked about killing?
That was a popular thing, too.
Well, it's the lie of you know, Nagasaki and Hiroshima dropping the bomb and, you know, nuking people, that they just became a shadow on the ground.
I stood at ground zero at the museum in both Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and some of the things that I saw there, they were mind-blowing. I mean, you literally, what you just mentioned about shadows on the wall, they said that the heat was so hot at that ground zero that it literally burned people right to the wall. And there really are shadows there.
Well, I saw photographs of them too, the same thing in Japan, but the point I'm making is that whole reason for dropping those bombs was a lie. And if you research it, you will find out what I'm talking about, you know. Even the scientists were saying, you know, that seriously, they were pretty much devastated. You know, they have, I guess you'd say scientists or, you know, people who create things, and you have to question, why would they even create something like this?
Well, they didn't even know.
I don't get it, but then the government comes along and says, we want that. We're going to use that.
They didn't even know whether or not that if they blew that first one off, that it would ignite the atmosphere. They didn't know, but they tried it anyway.
They didn't know if it would destroy the whole world. They just said, let's try it.
And they did. And they even put soldiers on the front line, blew these things off to test how far. They made them stand up, you know, while that wave was coming towards them.
Think of that.
Yeah.
Think of your son. Think of your daughter, your father, whatever.
They use people's sons for guinea pigs.
Okay. Yep, guinea pigs. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of information that you can, again, research and find out that the government, our government, plus other governments, I do feel, have been using their people as guinea pigs.
Yeah, that's they've been doing that for. What we mentioned a few times about how they would put a flu virus into a subway to see how far it would travel, how fast it would travel. Of course, they had a vaccine for it in case it got, you know, crazy. But what if something would have went wrong? What if the
You're lucky if they had a vaccine for it. I don't know. They've kept it secret.
What if the particular strain of vaccine was actually mutated somewhere along in the process and their vaccine didn't work? They could have started a pandemic without even caring that they started a pandemic.
Well, you have to question, suddenly, I kind of look at some of these things, you say, well, these Ebola and AIDS and various other things, starts in monkeys in Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on over there in Africa? I'm just saying.
I don't know, but they said they gave a bunch of blacks syphilis on purpose.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, sorry.
And they've been sterilizing women as, you know, whatevers to keep control of populations. I mean, yeah, so I guess you have to do your research, right? Aren't we saying that? Because everything seems to be pointing to, if we don't do research, then we don't have a clue about what's going on. And if you don't have a clue about what's going on, you live your life according to the lie, then what happens? How manipulated are you going to be?
Well, that's, you know, the whole thing. And now, like I say, at this juncture that we stand at right now, with the technology getting so amazing to literally fake, I mean, videos, seeing is believing to 90% of the population. If you see it in a video, it's got to be true, right?
And well, we have this mumps thing going on here in the States, and they pushed this. Nobody's died from mumps. I mean, I had mumps, I had measles, I had chickenpox. But then they eradicated that, you know, that was no longer. Now, all of a sudden, it's popped up. And one of the places it popped up was in Brooklyn, in the Hasidic a community there, and those people are, of course, those people, their religion, according to their religion, you know, they don't, they can't vaccinate themselves and so on. I mean, like the Jehovah Witnesses, for instance, they can't have a blood transfusion. If they're dying, they have to deny, this religion tells them, you deny that blood transfusion. I mean, that's pretty crazy to me, but so they planted this spike there in the Hasidic community, and just a couple of days ago, Cuomo, well, it came out, a law was presented to now eradicate your religious rights, to deny, you know, will prevent you. You don't have to get a vaccination, is what I'm saying. If you have a religious right, you know, well, that's out the window now here in New York State. Cuomo signed it within a snap of a finger immediately. So what they're doing is they're taking, incrementally, slowly taking our rights, our freedom of speech, our right to, you know, to our own children. You want to protect your child from, it's your choice, the freedom of choice, you know, to not have your child injected with this poison, these vaccines.
The thing about the vaccination, too, I've known from my experience, was when I was growing up, there are people that weren't getting vaccinated, but those people were never getting picked on. And if you look at it nowadays, I see it all over Facebook. People that aren't getting vaccinated are getting bullied through school and stuff because that's their choice. They have their own belief. They're like, oh, I don't want your anti-vax kid around mine, you know. And now it's just causing separation between people in schools.
Yeah, basically demonizing those who have spiritual beliefs that don't believe in, you know, certain
things.
Well,
you don't even have to have a spiritual belief, right? I mean, it's your choice to basically, but I think the system is pointing this, making this, again, terrifying people. They're ramping up, you know, the points of this, you know, this is terrible, and now we have 300 over here, and we have a spike now, 400 mumps or measles, whatever, and people hospitalized for this and that, and people are getting terrified. They're doing that on purpose.
Do you know that they now have a drive-through where you can actually go get a flu shot in a drive-through at the pharmacy? Seriously, you can drive up there, put your arm out the window, and then give you a flu shot right there.
What person in their right mind? Well, here we go again, the question. What person in their right mind? Because people are not in their right minds. They're being terrified. The problem has been created. Now they're looking at the reaction. People are terrified, and they give them the solution. Drive up window, get your vaccination.
Yeah, convenience. I put a microchip in my hand so I don't have to worry about losing my keys. Right? Well,
yeah, because they're being told, you're going to lose your keys.
Now
somebody will steal your car. Somebody will steal your identity. But if you have the chip, you'll be fine.
Now everywhere I go, I get tracked. If I want to walk up to a government building, they can decide whether to let me in or let me out, let me in or not let me in, determining
or cross the border or fly.
Yeah, that
or
number.
Even get food. So suppose they're pushing us incrementally toward martial law. Okay, those who are chipped, okay, will be completely under their surveillance. You know, fully under their surveillance. If martial law, you can't do nothing. You can't travel, you can't cross borders, you can't, you know, whatever. And if they start locking down food, martial law, it gets more and more difficult. Then if you're chipped, you know, if you're not chipped, you're in real trouble. And if you're chipped, you're in real trouble.
Well, there's a time I see coming down the line when that chip is actually starting to be enforced, that if you refuse to do it, one of your family members is going to basically be a martyr, and they're going to go do it so that everyone else can eat. Even though that one chip, according to my faith, basically, you know, guarantees you a one-way trip out of heaven, I will never take that chip, no matter what. All right. What makes me the most fearful is that I will have a family member who will see the suffering of my family and decide to sacrifice themselves in the process. But what they inadvertently do is they basically sold their family down the river, because now when they come back with that food, who knows what's in it, for one. But now they just brought the system. They don't even need all these people chipped. You see what I'm saying? Because my son takes the chip, he comes home, they know where he's at. They know where I'm at. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, there's this new doctrine, see something, say something.
Yeah.
And if somebody
in
your family is doing something suspicious, say something to an authority.
My dad's got a gun, right? Well, according to the Constitution, he has a right to have a gun. But nonetheless, my dad's got a gun. We got to confiscate the gun. So we come in there, we kick the door down. You know, you see what I mean? That's what we got to watch out for. But, you know, all hope isn't lost. Even right now, the fact that we're able to still talk about this without, you know, having FBI pop up on our screen and saying, stay right where you're at, you're under arrest.
We haven't gotten there quite yet.
No, we're not there
they're
yet.
They're listening.
But,
hi, guys.
Yellow, CIA, FBI, if you ever want to get more listeners on your radio network, all you got to do is say words like bomb, gun, terrorist. We got three more listeners now.
Well, it's like the dark web. That thing's been around forever, and they still haven't shut it down. Well,
yeah.
Why is that? You know, they should have shut that down a long time ago, and there's so much human trafficking.
It could be a case that they use the dark web for multiple purposes.
Well,
they might
be
selling on the dark web.
You know, I've read some links where the FBI, CIA actually use the dark web and participate in the dark web to supposedly, you know, arrest people or get in, you know, they get involved. And I was reading this situation where some of the FBI agents were doing this to track down, you know, child trafficking and pornography. And they had to participate in this for a while. Months and months went by, and these guys, these FBI agents, are participating. And of course, they say that they were remorse about that, but they had to do it.
That's terrible. I tell you, you hear a representative like Ocasio-Cortez or whatever the heck her name is. She's out there saying about this raise that if they don't get this raise, then that's more likely that other representatives are going to go to, you know, other means of making extra money, like lobbyists or bribes or whatever like that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what she said. You know, if we don't get a raise, then they make over $100,000+, basically, I can't remember how much it was a day. It was a lot of money per day, but they get over $180,000 a year just to be that in that position. So they're not hurting. They're making like six times more than somebody who would be getting a $15 paycheck, $15 an hour paycheck. They're making six times more and they can't survive on that? Seriously? But her deal was, the justification was what these senators and congressmen are going to have to go out there and, you know, conform to lobbyists who's going to pay them money or give them perks just so they can survive on that type of paycheck. But to hear that come out of a supposed representative, that's kind of concerning. That's more than concerning.
That's them looking out for themselves.
Yeah.
Well, I think Ocasio-Cortez there, I think she's a plant, to disrupt the Democratic Party, to tear them apart, because it looks like that's happening. You know, she's an upstart. They call it like an upstart, right? Creating chaos within that. Not that there hasn't been chaos already, but I think that there's certain people that are being paid off.
Well, you know? It's scary to this extent right here. You know, would I like to see the Democratic Party fall on their face? On one hand, yeah, because of all the information put out to the conservative media about how corrupt the Democratic Party has actually become. However, if you talk about the separations of powers between the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch of government, if one of those branches of government was to seize all the power that the other two branches of government, you wouldn't have those protections anymore. And so with the Democrats and the Republicans actually being in there to compete with each other, the longer these two bicker back and forth about things, the less laws and red tape that they put on we the people. So I think we need multiple parties in there. I actually think we need a three-party system to where you got a libertarian or something else in there as well. You got three parties, and they have to come together in order to pass a law. Well, obviously, you throw a third party in there, it's going to be a whole lot harder to get laws passed because you won't have the votes for things like they do now. So I don't want to see a day when we got a solid Republican Party, because that makes the Republican Party susceptible to corruption. And like Mark said,
they're all susceptible to corruption as it stands now.
Yeah, but that would be worse. That would be amplified.
It would be worse. My thing is, I feel that this push for the socialism is what I see rising, and you know, on the left, and that's more concerning to me, because people don't like, you know, with Bernie Sanders and Cortez, they don't really understand socialism, you know. They just don't get what that really means.
It's also communism as well. It sounds good.
Well, it leads to communism. I mean, even Karl Marx said socialism eventually leads to communism.
The SS pretty much had a paperback version of the Facebook back in the day. They were gathering information on people, and that's what Facebook's doing.
Yeah. Well,
they're censoring. Their big-time censorship is getting out of hand.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of people's posts are getting shut down on certain topics.
I think somebody was even shut down because they were talking about Jesus and talking about praying and blah, blah, blah. And I put a post up on Facebook about the Great Awakening, about, you know, what that really is about awakening and so on, and I was banned. I was like, "Why?" Hey, sis.
Well, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, everybody has to know that this isn't color related. This isn't political or religious related. That this is a planned assault on the people to get the people to react a certain way. Because if you go back and you look at everything from 9/11 and even prior to 9/11, you could go all the way back to the Y2K thing. And, you know, all the impeachment trials, everything's all planned out to where it comes down to right now. They've got laws into place right now, like the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act, that gives the government extreme power under emergency circumstances. So if we're under a national emergency, the government has an extreme amount of power, more than what they've actually got right now. And they've got quite a lot of power right now, because they're getting by with things that we wouldn't even consider trying, because we know we wouldn't get by with it. So it's all been planned. it's all basically a control structure. Whether you want to talk about whether it's the government, the corporations, or the banking industry, all of those are, you know, sections of the same snake, if you understand what I'm saying.
Follow the paper trail.
Yeah, they're all of it's about the money. It's about the power structure. You know, you don't see the rich folks taking, they're sending their kids to war because they know how it's going to play out. They got to convince my son that something terrible's happening, and because of his big heart and his love for his country, he's going to want to rush out there and be the hero and save them. And then, after he does his duty, he's going to come home, and they're going to allow other people to spit in his face. You see what I mean?
It's like those protests at the soldiers' funerals, you know. I don't know why they allow that to go on.
Yeah, why would you do that? Why would you... Why, for whatever reason, I understand nobody likes war. I don't like war, you know. But to allow a protest under somebody who went there quite literally to defend everyone else's rights. It's like these liberals out there that go out there and beat up on conservatives. And they're preaching socialism and Marxism and communism and all that. If they ever get what they want. Think about this rationally for a second. If they ever get what they want, they're not going to be happy with the outcome, because right now they're talking about how social justice and, you know, standing up for the Muslims. First off, if Muslims ever took control according to their own religious text, you're not going to be gay and be part of the crowd. And if you're a socialist that likes to go out and smash windows and fight with the law enforcement, you're not going to have your freedom of speech anymore. And by the time that's all said and done, when the Second Amendment is abolished and you have no right to keep and bear arms, you can't go up against a government that is fully armed, combat ready, that has militarized the police to the extent where you can't even tell the police from the military. So if you get what you think you want, you're basically going to destroy everything that you say you're fighting against. I'm fighting against fascism. I'm fighting against racism. I'm fighting against this and that. Well, do you think that somebody who believes that it's wrong to be gay is going to allow you to be gay when they take control? Do you think that somebody who doesn't want you to be able to speak your mind is going to allow you to speak your mind when they take control? Think about
it. You also have, not only are your children coming back from the war to be spit on, like you're saying, but they're coming back to war with PTSD.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, with brainwashing, you know, they have committed some, you know, horrific things in certain circumstances that stays with them forever. They don't get the help they need, for sure. And, you know, we know the suicide, I guess the suicide level of Vietnam, or not just Vietnam, but vets, is pretty high.
Well, you know,
and homelessness. I mean, yeah.
There's about the PTSD thing. There are people that never even experienced wartime that are suffering from PTSD. There are people, civilians. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is after, like, a, you know, a big traumatic event, that it's a life-changing event. And with all these things that are going on, these riots, things like that, you think about somebody who's minding their own business, walking down the streets of St. Louis, a riot breaks out, they get terribly wounded by two factions fighting each other. They had absolutely nothing to do. Those folks are going to be more apt to not want to go outside ever again because of what happened the last time. You see what I'm saying? So whenever, as a veteran, I go around and people find out you're a veteran, they say, thank you for your service. Well, I turned that around on them. I said, thank you for your service. Because people don't realize that that lady or that man who is bringing your food at the restaurant, they're providing a service that makes your life better. And while you're out there, you know, serving your country in any arena, whether it's wartime or not, you're out there doing something to protect those folks, and they are at home keeping the candles lit so that you've got a place to come home that you call home. You see what I mean? So It doesn't matter what service somebody's providing for you. I am thankful for the person that cooked my food. I'm thankful for the person that did the dishes that my food came on. I'm thankful for the person that brought the food in the delivery truck to the restaurant. And so that's the way I like to tip people when I go to restaurants because they're working hard. And I know they don't get a lot of money, and every little penny helps whenever you come down to eat, but they serve their country just as much as the people that went out to serve their country. They had brothers and sisters that died in action out there. And so they sacrificed too.
Especially if they're all taxpayers.
Yeah, they all sacrificed. So I'm telling the world, thank you for your service. If you're the one that's feeding the hungry, if you're the one that's healing the sick or going out there housing the homeless, if you're the one that, I don't care what job you're doing out there. There is no insignificant job out there. Even if you think, oh, I'm a dishwasher at a restaurant, that ain't nothing. No, yeah, it's something. It's something. You clean those dishes.
I think everybody in their life should be put in a position where they have to be a waiter or a waitress or a dishwasher in a restaurant. That's what I think, because I've seen people disrespect and be really rude to waiters or waitresses, you know, where they look down upon a dishwasher, right?
Well, yeah. Like I said, working retail, man, I see it all the time, you know, like, you take me, like, I'm not the most sharp-looking guy, I'm tatted up, but, you know, you go up to people and you assume they're going to judge you by how you look. All it takes is just a little wording, you know, talk to them with some respect, and then all of a sudden you see the respect that you get back from them.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable how much it spreads, you know, and that can make their day and make their day better.
It doesn't take a lot, you know, when I'm sitting in a restaurant and a waiter or waitress comes to me, I look right at their face and I say, "Hi, how are you today?" You know, that's a person, that's a human being there who's, yeah, doing a service for you, and sometimes that job they have it's not an easy job, you know, and sometimes they're working more than one job.
It's like going,
I think people, okay, huh?
It's like going as far as like cleaning the table off, you know, even though it's their job to do it, you know, it's respectable, you know, hey, I'm going to clean up my mess and, you know, tip you before I leave. But that 5 minutes could get them, you know, home earlier to spend time with their family, you know.
My son, I'm so proud of my son, all right? Father's Day is either here or getting close.
It's today, I think.
Anyway, I am
so... Oh, is it? Hey, I didn't even know
I am
that.
So proud of my son because my son, he learned a lot in life and he got a good heart and a lot of good morals. But like him, when I go to a restaurant and I eat my meal, I'll sit there and clean up my mess on that table and I'll stack the dishes nice and neat just for the same. And I am so proud that he does the same thing because he knows what it's like, you know.
He must have got that from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he raised me right.
Yeah. Well, that says a lot.
It warms my heart.
I think it is, again, everything we're talking about is about our humanness, you know, about our sensitivities to another being, to another human being, our awareness of that other person, you know. I mean, you don't have to become friends. You just have to be respectful. You have to be conscious and awake of who this person is, what this, you know, of that person sitting on the street asking for help, you know, or some old person needing to go in the door and, you know, help them with the door, or just smile at people, you know. This is participating in this creation. This is participating in life. And you don't have to do much, you know. Just those simple acts make a difference on a bigger scale.
That's how I look at it. You know, it don't take much to, you know, share love with somebody. But it does take a whole lot to step out of that spectrum, you know, and, you know, go the opposite way. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've noticed so many kids nowadays just disrespectful towards their parents, and I don't understand it. Like,
yeah.
It could be a form of rebellion, you know, but just no way, there's no reason to act like that.
But. Listen, I remember as a kid, I thought I knew everything and that my parents knew nothing. I remember that in that stage, you know.
Yeah, me too. The older
right,
I
but,
got.
But then you move through it.
Yeah.
Then you realize you know nothing.
That's why I tell my friends at work, like, now I'm that older guy looking at all the younger kids like, man, why are you acting this way?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's certain stages we do go through, but then there's a point where you must move through it and become that different person. You know, you start to identify things that aren't, you know, aren't good or that are out of balance or disrespectful, you know. I think it says a lot about the foundation of your family, though. Like your dad, you know, held something really good in his life and started building your foundation with a lot of good blocks, you know, and that mm-hmm. carries through, even though you went through that period where, yeah, you thought, they don't know nothing, my parents, and you know everything, you know, but you moved through that.
That says
a lot.
That's what's lacking a lot of times now because, you know, everybody's on that thin ice of morality, you know.
I'll say. Is there any left?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's like Dad says, you know, it's, you know, not good to run around dropping the F-bomb everywhere, but, you know, I do it, but I know a time and a place for it, you know. I ain't gonna go into a funeral, oh man, F this, you know, but...
I hope not.
I told them all one time, all my kids, that, you know, when they got on a trend like that, I told them that I was going to go out and buy each and every one of them a soap on a rope that I can hang around their neck. And so if they dropped one, all I had to do is come up there and soap them.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Where's that?
Well, I'm not scolding you, but I do remember when the F word started to come out on media, you know, mostly with some comedians, you know. I remember when that started to happen, but for me personally, those words have a power. They have an energy that is out of balance, that is real negative.
Yep.
And, I mean, I can actually feel it in my body. I mean, I'm not a prude. I've actually, you know, said some nasty words myself in certain circumstances. It's not frequent, but there are occasions when something is happening that is so extreme that it just, yeah, I mean, the expletive will come out, but I do know that holds or carries an energy that is not something I really want to put out.
Yeah.
Well, and I think with all the research that all these government agencies have done, they realize that words really do have a lot of power, and they use those words in specific sequences to get you to react a certain way. There's certain things that they call it triggered. You know, people see a color of a hat and suddenly they're triggered. Oh, you're a racist, you're hateful, and they start spewing out all these words that the mainstream media had set out there as basically talking points. You can always tell which person listens to which media outlet, and you can. I'm telling you right out of the gate, you bring me two people together and let me listen to what they're saying, and I guarantee you, I'll tell you, that one there is a Democrat, listens to MSNBC and ABC and CNN, and this is one that listens to Fox News. I'll tell you every single time, because they always drop the key words. They always take the talking points. You know, like Trump's a racist, but Trump said certain things. Well, when I heard that Trump was a racist and Trump said certain things, I did actual research. I went back and I watched the entirety of the entire interview where he supposedly said what he said. And then if you listen to it in its full context, anyone with common sense couldn't come away with it as he's a racist. Maybe the words themselves might have been deemed to be racist, but in the context of what he actually said on that particular incident, I'm not saying about any other incident, but that particular one, I came away with the deal, no, somebody manipulated this narrative, and I'm watching somebody else repeat exactly, well, yeah, Trump's a racist, he hates everybody of color, and so on down the line. And
well, if you think about the hat, the mega hat, with the words "Make America Great Again," so it's a red hat, with words "Make America Great Again." Now, why wouldn't you want that to happen? Now, I have my own perception about America Great, because America, to me, was never great for many people. And part of some of those people were actually, you know, indigenous people, my people, as well as black people. So America was really founded on genocide and colonialism, and not some really good stuff. So America, to me, was not so great for many. Now, but still, just take that term, make America great again. Why wouldn't you want America to be great, even again? Well, it's not about that. It's about Trump. It's about the hate for that man. And where did that hatred come from? That hatred came from the mainstream media and certain politicians.
Well, you want to know what the mainstream media's Achilles heel is? First off, they started off for years lying to people and manipulating people. And I used to call myself a Democrat. And I thought that, you know, we lived in a democracy. That's before I actually got into doing real research about that. But their Achilles heel is that they sit there and they tell you all this stuff. And then when you find out it's not true, I lost my train of thought here for a second. Doggone, I hate it when that happens.
Anyway. Well, I was talking about we would all want to have America great, you know, even if it is again, or some people believe that it was once great. But I was talking about the hate for Trump that the mainstream.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's it right there. See, here's the thing. It's like this. The harder that they demonized him and the harder that he fought back, when he started telling them, telling people that they were fake news and I'm listening to them, the harder he fought back and the harder they fought him, I knew that there was something up. And I looked harder. I watched even more intently to see who was telling the truth and who wasn't. And so their Achilles heel was the fact that they thought they had it under control, and by them demonizing him as hard and as heavy and trying to do everything they did and looking into all the representatives that were accused of different things like Hillary Clinton and all the crimes that she supposedly committed, by the time it was all said and done, Trump looked good. They made him look good.
Well, I think there are many of us who have known all along that the majority of the mainstream media news is fake and that it's manipulated. They certainly, you know, it's kind of like, okay, so what can we do today to control the people? Because we need to control the people. We need to keep them dumbed down, and let's push them in this direction, down this tunnel here. We need this political person ousted. We need this political person, you know, to be seen by everyone as the hateful, misogynist, sexist, you know, whatever. That's the way they're going to do it. And so, you know, it's common sense to me. When he started talking about fake news, I was like, okay, I sat up because, he's right. Fake news is fake.
Yeah, well, if you was trying to do something dirty, you would want the news media to be your buddies, and so you wouldn't be sitting there calling them fake news in order to get them, because if you ever needed them to say something good about you, you already told the world that they were fake, and now you're saying, well, yeah, the media said I was a nice guy, so I must be a nice guy.
Well, the media tells us who to vote for, don't they now?
Yeah.
And so, or why to go to war, when to go to war, or what's going on with the stocks, or what's going on with this and that. But that's the media's job. That's what they do. The thing is, well, the Twitter, I remember when he started using Twitter and everybody was ballistic, especially the fake news. Yeah. The fake news was so ballistic about him using Twitter. Well, of course they were ballistic because they couldn't control what he was going
to
say.
They're still trying to get his Twitter shut down. They want to censor the president. They should just let him ramble on and take all the information that he says out there, because it's like a gold mine.
All right, so he's sort of like an outside, and he said it right off the beginning. He nobody owns him. He has his own money. He's his own person. And what he was really saying was all the politicians are really owned. They have to say and do what they're told, you know, and that's been going on for a long, long time. You know, like President Kennedy, for instance, because he started to shift into his awareness and awakening of the secret government and various things that were going on. Well, they took him out. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah,
they manipulate and control everyone. And he said, nobody owns me. Nobody's going to control me. They have nothing on me. And so, you know.
Well, that's another reason why, as far as a candidate, I liked him, and that's why I think most of Americans liked him. Sure, he was rough around the edges. But every average Joe is rough around the edges. And so, with that said, the more they demonized him, and the more they lied, flat out lied about him, I mean, whatever truth that they told, if they would have just came out and told the flat out truth, they might have actually won that information war. because people would decide for themselves whether they thought he was a nice guy or not. But they did every single thing under the sun to demonize that man before he ever even got in. They didn't think he had a chance to begin with. They thought Hillary was in the bag. They had thought all the plans that they had going on, it was going to be all right. But now he got an outsider in here, like you said, has his own money, can't be bribed, ain't going to be bought, and he's bucking the system, and that's what 90% of everybody I've ever talked to that is a conservative or whatever, that's the reason why they voted for them. Anybody who's going to go up against the system and tell the mainstream media off, just like the average Joe would have, if the media come up here and tried to tell lies about me, you think I wouldn't come back at them? I'd come back at them with the vengeance. And that's what he did. He sold the people. Now,
well, there's no what they really hate him for is the fact that he won. They don't hate him because he's a misogynist, because there's many men in political positions and presidents even were misogynists or sexists or had affairs or whatever. They don't hate him for that. They hate him because he won.
I would wager to say that most, if not all, of the people sitting in political power right now in the Congress and the Senate, most of them, if not all, and I know there's good folks in there, but most of them have some sort of dirt on them that they don't want to see the light. And even to the extent of the modern day police officer, I think that there is a situation going on to where they will hire somebody who has a less than perfect reputation just for such an emergency that they ever need to bring that person down.
Well, now we see people in Hollywood being taken down for their sexual perversiveness and
why weren't they doing that before?
And you see political people dropping out and leaving and retiring, and you see the dirt on them. You see the church being exposed finally more and more. Not that this is new, but you see all these systems, the political system, the education system, you see all systems that rule us, you see these are incrementally being taken down for their perversity, their perverse behaviors and dirty behaviors and so on. You see that happening left and right. It's big.
Well,
it's
big. There was a book that did mention that, so whoever wrote that particular section said that all these things would come to pass, and Paul Harvey in 1965, he laid it out, and here we are, and we're talking about, let the games begin. We're already in the game.
We're in a big game here. It's a spiritual battle.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
I agree.
It's like this is the biggest for humanity at this timeline. We've done this before, though. I mean, this is like nothing new, except that a particular timeline is different here with the constellations, with the alignments of stars and planets and so on. And the timeline for, I guess you want to say, for our souls, if you want to talk about that. The timeline is crucial now for our advancement, for our graduating from this school or this game we've been in for eons and eons. This is why it's so crucial today about people waking up and taking, participating with shifting things into the light of harmony, peace, and balance. And, of course, talk about the key frequencies, love, unconditional love, and compassion are very important key frequencies that shift things, change things, and create and manifest. As you also have the opposite, and that's why they're ramping up the opposite. The opposition is ramping up the hatred and the violence and the dirty stuff more and more and more, attacking us on every level, chemtrails, pushing the chemtrails out on us and the poisons and various other things, because they know they're coming to a point where it's all going to just fall down, like the breakup and the shattering of the patriarchy dominator rule that is fed by the evil. This is shattering up, and we're seeing everything exposed here, and we're seeing this shattering taking place, and that's part of prophecy. And we are in the midst of prophecy, so for us personally, as humans, we have to determine where you're going to stand, which pathway you're going to move towards or step onto, because this is where it is right now. It's crucial. This is that spiritual battle, and the spiritual battle is about the dark, the evil. It's really evil, not the dark. It's on that level of evil versus the light, you know, and the light, of course, is compassion and goodness and your connectedness to Creator. You know, these are frequencies, these are vibrational energies that have a power, and this is where we are today. It's sort of like a wake-up people time.
Well, I think the mere fact that we're having this conversation right now says that we realize the game's being played and that we're actually in it. And so, I don't know, some people would call us awake, but
that's
I think we're awakening. I think we have I there's many things I'm still awakening to, and I'm still learning things. You know, we'll continually be awakening and learning more and more and more if we seek this. You know, if you shut down and say, I know everything, you can't teach me anything new, I know it all, well, that's where you're going to stay, because things are unfolding into a new paradigm, a new timeline, a new energy, a new frequency, according to prophecy, and we are in that. So if you're going to stay behind, you know, thinking, well, I don't need any help, you can't tell me anything new, or you're a wackadoodle, so you have nothing new to tell me, that's where you're going to remain, in that arrogance. Because to me, we should be arrogant to think that we know everything. I'm sorry.
Say that again, Mark.
That's what they call the Luciferian effect, is when you're stepping out of the circle, basically to follow your own path.
Without
love, you know, you never... Eventually, everything's going to return back to the circle, because that's what love does.
There's a video that I listened kid that called himself a Luciferian that says that he loves pain and he wants to go to hell. So he's talking with a street preacher and he says, I serve Lucifer.
Well, then you have the other side. You have the clean hands disclosure, the Rothschild saying that Lucifer is, I guess you want to say, is the light bringer, the light bearer. And that the Rothschilds or the bloodline have a job to do, just like, well, we came here to do a job too. We came here to show the light, bring the light, an awakening, and they came here to test us and pummel us down so that we don't get to that point. And they agreed to do that, we agreed to do our job. You know, if you step back and look at it from a broader perspective, talking about the soul or soul-spirit agreements, we're all playing a part here. We're all in this game, even those that are doing dirty, nasty stuff.
Well, I sit there and I wonder what actually brought that kid to all kinds of information, the journey that he had to be on in order to come out there and basically say, you know, I serve Lucifer and I love pain. I like hurting myself.
I think he's very confused.
Well, yeah. But
I think he's really lost, and I have to say this. This is important to me because we say we have the word in our language, Lakota language, Metakuye Oyasin, which means we are all related. Now, if you abide by even that, or even the fact that you're saying, well, we're one big family here, all people are one big family, which I do believe we were and are, even though a lot don't believe that or know it, we are. Energetically, we are. So even if you believe that or don't believe it, so those persons who you look at who are doing evil stuff, or like that young man you're saying, you know, I pray for them. I don't hate them. I don't, and I'm not saying you do, but I don't. What I do is I pray for them, asking Creator to awaken them, to touch them, so that they shift out of the harm they're doing to themselves and others. This is, I believe, part of our participation here. We could choose to either participate on a high level here, knowing the power of prayer, knowing that miracles do occur. Our participation is either going to be in that, praying for everyone, for harmony and balance and peace and awakening, so that these evils stop, because we're battling something very powerfully evil, but it hates the light. It cannot tolerate the light. It cannot tolerate love. You know, these are the tools we have. Is if you vibrate, or if your frequency is high in heart, love, and compassion, it basically, you will be tempted. You may very well be attacked, but it's because they can't handle that light. They don't want that light to shine. They don't want peace. They don't want harmony. They don't want goodness. They don't want anything that's sacred to continue or to stay, to function, to exist.
Yeah,
and we're sacred. You guys are sacred. We're all sacred.
We're in a war of manipulation of energy is how I see it, you know. You got the positive and the negative spectrum of it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We need positive and we need negative. You know, without one, you can't have the other.
Yeah.
It's part of creation. But what we're looking for is balance. Okay? We need the balance back. Okay?
Yeah, and I'm like the scales of justice. It's ironic because I was born under the astrological sign Libra. And I always have to have things be fair and balanced, you know. And when it's not balanced, then I'm frustrated.
Well, we can see the imbalance has been here for millennia, the imbalance. You know, the dark has been, infiltrating and really doing its work, whereas people have not been aware that this is a spiritual battle. So if you're not aware that you are in a spiritual battle, you know, how are you going to function? How are you going to choose to do the sacred work or hold the light or be more loving or be more compassionate? Because you don't realize that you're involved in a battle here for a soul.
Well,
you know,
and
for the sacred.
That's actually going to be amplified by what we were talking about earlier, this newer technology where things are able to be so realistic using digital manipulation that there could come a time where when you get on this doggone thing we call the internet, you see all kinds of craziness going on. It might not even be happening. Like, I don't know what's going on outside that door right now because I can't see behind that door, but it could be nothing. But somebody could send me a video of a bad guy at my door in my house, and I'm going to react to it. You see what I'm saying? And it's not even happening. But you.
Well, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming.
They've been doing that.
The ETs are coming.
They've been doing that for years, telling us that the UFOs was coming, the doggone Russians are going to get us, there's a terrorist behind every bush, constantly keeping us in fear, constantly keeping us pitted against each other. You don't even have to be a racist. Somebody can insinuate you're a racist, and you have to try to prove your innocence, even though, and then you say, well, how could I be a racist? I got a whole lot of black friends, and then they got a way to manipulate those words.
Well, even that says you're racist.
Yeah, see?
It's politically incorrect.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't know the terminology, you better not go to court. You see what I'm saying? Because the words that you come out of your mouth, they mean something to every organization out there. Even if people don't believe in a higher power or the power of words, you test that theory. Go to court and say the wrong thing. You're going to jail. You're going to get fined. You're not going to win when you go to court unless you take an attorney with you who's better than the other person's attorney and knows the right words to say or not say. It's a chess game. They play chess with people's lives every single day. And
well,
that's...
I'm leaning more towards the Russians are never going to come. It's going to be the ETs that are coming.
Well, they probably
that's
will.
What I'm, and don't get on the ship. When they show up, don't get on the ship.
I'd like to borrow one of their ships so I can reverse engineer it. Me and Mark are going on a journey through the galaxy and have fun.
I'm down for
that. Yeah, we'll go someplace that's a doggone planet made out of diamonds and gold and jewels and load up and come back and live high on the hog, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of
shit. I was just reading something about Tesla. Somebody who Tesla gave some information to, I can't remember the guy's name, but he actually created a ship. You know, out of what Tesla had discovered, certain things. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, but I told you a long time ago, I told everybody, I tell them again, there's nothing that anyone in this world could ever tell me after the things that I've witnessed through my lifetime that would surprise me. Nothing. Nothing would surprise me.
I'm there with you.
If a doggone UFO lands on my front lawn and an alien gets out there and hands me a Big Mac from McDonald's and a CD from some music store and says, Happy Father's Day, I ain't even going to be surprised. I'm just going to say thank you.
That CD is going to be Purple Rain.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what that's
going
to be.
Yep.
I'm more of a Dark Side of the Moon kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
But either way, like I say, you know, I don't laugh at people when they tell me they've seen things because I've seen things myself. Can I explain them? Can I prove them?
Well, you never laughed at me.
No, and I won't.
I told you some really wild things that
I won't.
I've seen.
Heck, I'm sitting around Barbara talking to a turtle. All right? It is a time.
I talk to critters as well, and they talk back.
Speaking of turtles, Patty Walking Turtle's been on here. She ain't even been in there yet. I wonder if she's asleep.
Yeah, I don't.
We must have her bored or something. I see her microphone's muted.
I know. She's not jumping in because it's not too exciting, I suppose. I don't know.
we're boring Patty.
Well, yeah, so I'm thinking that there's either going to be a false ET, attack. They've been showing us that in the movies. Like I'm saying, they can simulate that, too. You know, they simulate that. Or it's going to be real, because I know they do exist, and I know they've been here a long time. I've had my personal experiences with them. I mean, our government has been involved with them. The Germans were involved with them. You know, again, I sound like I'm a wackadoodle, but that's fine. I am. And you can do your own research. I've done the research, haven't we? You guys have done your research.
Back in the 80s, they had a video game that was cool as all get out, and it cost a whole dollar to play this video game. But you come up on this video game, and you see this little cowboy standing there in this video game with his horse, and you can walk all the way around this thing, and it's three-dimensional, all right? And then, fast forward a few years later, they had Michael Jackson, after he died, dancing on stage.
A hologram. They got the Tupac one also.
I saw that.
So, is it possible that...
I saw that.
Is it possible that they could use the chemicals that they spray in the air as a big screen TV and project things that no matter where you're standing, you see whichever, you know, angle that you're seeing that at in three-dimensional, and people would actually freak out that we're being attacked by aliens?
Actually, in Germany a month ago, they had a parade. They were throwing holograms around the city somewhere.
Yeah.
And they had, like, elephants and stuff.
China, a couple of years ago, I don't know if you saw that, put up a whole city hologram in the sky. It was so real.
Yeah. And when people saw it, they took pictures and videos of it. They get this on video, and they're like, you know, what is this, you know? Are we having, is like CERN causing a dimensional shift, and we're seeing other things appear from other dimensions into ours? But it could have been something as simple as just what you explained, China projecting this hologram of the city up in the air, and people see it, you know?
So, well, there is truth to CERN opening up portals and doorways and into the unknown, D-Wave. You have all this stuff going on, this is called, by the way, Project Bluebeam, the floating city.
They got the goddess of war, Kali, right there on the front lawn of CERN. What's that mean?
Well, it means a number of things, you know. Kali was a goddess, goddess of death, goddess of life. Take it as you want. What's the message?
But the whole concept is, you're into science, and all of a sudden you got this multiple armed goddess setting up there, and you're out there doing these crazy dances on videos out there. What's the average Joe supposed to think about your intentions? What is it that you're trying to do there? Are you trying to open up a gateway to hell, literally, or what? They don't know. when they smashed those particles together, it was like the first time the atomic bomb, you know, went off. You know, they didn't know what was going to happen. They just did it. Did they ask you or me, say, do you mind if we try this out? It could set fire to the world, but, you know, we'd think if we get this, we'll have...
Well, take the bomb, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bomb, when they first set off a bomb, like you said, in the desert as a test. Well, what's it going to do? Well, we don't really know. Well, will it destroy the whole world? Well, we don't really know, but let's try it again. Who are these people making these decisions?
Yeah, so slamming particles together at freaking ridiculous speeds, that sounds like a really brilliant thing to try to
find intelligent.
What they claim to be the God particle, the Higgs boson. They're supposedly found the Higgs boson, the God particle. Well, I thought they didn't believe in God. All right, but nonetheless...
Well, I remember a scientist who was working at CERN said in the video interview, he said, we are going to become gods and you can't stop us.
That
Jeez.
Was
hey.
CRISPR technology, dude. That was that CRISPR technology scientist that said that. Remember?
Well, but I was looking at one. I guess it was a CERN interview. Was it the scientist working there in that arena a while back? Said a similar thing or same thing?
It
I don't
probably
know.
Said something similar.
Yeah.
I remember though we were sitting
the,
there with
the,
watching
yes.
the video. Yeah.
It's the arrogance.
He was arrogant enough
yeah.
to say there's nothing he can do about it.
Yes.
In other words, sucks to be you if we
exactly.
do it. And we screw up, oh well.
Well, think about this for a second. They're talking about brain implants where you'd be able to learn stuff instantaneously through the computer. Well, that merge between man and microchip, the transhumanist thing. Imagine when they actually believe themselves to be gods and they're in the Matrix and have all these capabilities because they basically now, with the mind, can create that virtual reality that they live in. They might be fooling themselves. We'll watch them sitting there in a vegetative state and saying, oh, I feel bad for that man. Shouldn't have tried that. But we're on the outside of the Matrix. He's on the inside of the Matrix. He thinks he's successful. He just became God. So what if it backfires in their face? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm looking at this link here. CERN physicist Amit Goswami says, we have no idea what we're doing.
Well, essentially, I'm having to agree with that part. Because
I think that none of them know what they're doing, right?
They're talking about starting to actually form a new religion that would be a world religion using artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence has the capability to exceed man's thinking capability. Like, if you had the four of us together, we got a lot of processing power between the four of us, and we can think of a lot of brilliant things to say. But if you've got an artificial intelligence that is one of these supercomputers, and you can actually go out there and Google up the most powerful supercomputers, quantum computers, and so on down the line, so you got an artificial intelligence that's capable of learning everything. When that intelligence gets so incredibly smart, it may even think it's God. You see what I'm saying? And at that point in the game, what you and I say ain't going to make a difference.
That's what the creators of Grand Theft Auto predicted. That's the whole storyline of the last one.
That one day the computer would take over?
Yeah.
There you go. But that's something to be aware of.
That's well, that's the new religion. Remember Patty and I talked about that?
It's called Gaia.
Yep.
They're calling it Gaia. And it will be an AI-led religion. One, they've already got the doctrine and everything
wow.
written up. I've got that link somewhere.
And
I'll
so, if you've got your chip, you're already a member.
Well, if you don't comply with this new religion, what did they say they're going to do to those people, sis?
They'll be outcast. They'll be reprogrammed. You know, it's just like 1984. They'll bring you in and they'll, what do they call it?
Change your memories? Change.
Yeah, there's a nice word they use.
Yeah.
Re-educate?
Re-educate.
Nah, it's not even re-educate. It's one that lets you know that you're not coming out the same way you went in. In other words, they're not even trying to hide it. But then, you know, when you look at what is going on today, politically and scientifically and culturally and all of the things that they're doing, this is all simply to lead us to this one world religion government control. Because we as the bad peoples of the world can't get along. We can't do things properly. We don't listen. We are trashing the planet. We can't get together for any means whatsoever. So therefore, we have to be controlled. We can't control ourselves. Ergo, a new control system will control all of us. There won't be any more borders. We won't have to worry about that because we will all be under one rule. And we all will obey those rules. And if we don't obey those rules, then we will be chastised in whatever manner is considered efficient. You know,
well,
AI is not going to look at you and say, you know, Shaziz, you've done a lot of good stuff in your life, and you made this one little infraction here, so I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt. AI doesn't do that. It says, you did this, it was bad, there you go.
Or you might know, do it.
Here's, yeah. Right.
With that said.
Right, exactly.
There's a, exactly. Yeah. There's a person in People for People Radio chat. I can't really pronounce it. It's A-N-J. How do you say that? A-N-J-E-M-E-S?
Anjamees. And I used to pronounce Anjamees' name wrong so long.
All right, I apologize for that.
They finally corrected me.
But Anjamees says there is no hell. If you Google up a definition of hell... A place regarded in various religions as a spiritual realm of evil and suffering, often traditionally depicted as a place of potential fire beneath the earth where the wicked are punished after death, a state or place of great suffering, unbearable experience. When it comes down to the actual biblical version of hell, I think that it's probably, you know, a whole lot different than what people would actually think. My version of hell would be complete and utter darkness and not having any kind of contact with any other entity. The total opposite of what you talk about if you were in the light. I actually had a vision about that, or a dream, whatever you want to call it, where I went to heaven and I experienced a great love up there that's unexplainable by words. And then when on my journey through hell, I went through sort of what the biblical version would say to my final destination, to where it was a total separation from all that is good. And I'm just there in my own mind, in the darkness, without nobody to cry with, without nobody to suffer with. It was just me, in my mind, as the worst enemy. So as far as whether there is or isn't a hell... First off, when you're talking about the definition of how hell's explained, I think we're quite literally living in a version of hell right now. We can't fix it because we can't get everybody to understand what's actually happening to them. And as far as, you know, getting thrown in an eternal lake of fire, I don't subscribe to that that per se. But if you could actually go into the version of my mind where I was in that vision or dream or whatever, where I felt the worst feeling, I would never, ever, ever want to go back there. I would rather live in an eternal lake of fire with millions of people we were all suffering together than to ever experience the true hell, which is a total separation from all that is good.
It's just you and your mind.
Just you and your own worst enemy, which is your mind.
Well, what they're talking about are other dimensions. These are other dimensions, other realms. We know they exist. And this term, the CERN is opening the bottomless pit to hell, you know, really is about into other dimensions and other realms, and releasing certain demonic beings that are trapped in there.
Yeah, what the heck is going to come out of that hole?
I mean, you can call it hell, you can call it whatever you want, but, you know, what they're doing is they're moving through and opening up other dimensions. And there are certain entities, some demonic and some others, that are in these other dimensions. And their purpose and their goal is to... You know, open this doorway. You have to ask why, but that's what they said. You know, this is what they say.
You bring them back the extra baggage from the deepest of the downward spirals, what it is.
Yep.
I believe that we create hell here on Earth, and I don't believe in a fiery hell as the Church, describes. But I do believe that there is a place, realms or places or dimensions, where there are entities that do exist that might not be so good. You know, there's that good, positive, negative in all arenas, in all areas, and we have no idea what they're opening the doorways to. And they said they don't know what they're doing either, but they're doing it.
Yeah, without any consent to the average Joe. I mean, did anybody come and ask you or me or Mark or Patty if we mind if they smash these particles together to see what happens? No, they just did it. Now, you try that in your own mad science laboratory. Start smashing things together and see what happens. you'll get a visit.
And even after all the stuff they went through, even after, like, the tsunami and all that over in Japan, like, those people, and, like, I went over there for a week, and those are part of the most kind-hearted people I've ever met in my life. I lost all hope in mankind before I even went over there. And within the first day, like, people just took to us friendly. Like, the first guy I met bought me dinner out on the street. They asked me how I was, where I was from, told them, and went about my day there.
Well, see, that's another thing what we keep mentioning here on here. If you go over and talk to the Russians, and you talk to the average citizen, they don't want to go to war with us.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to come over and hurt us. They'd rather sit down and learn about our culture and talk about things and be like people, you know, have a barbecue together.
I got a friend in Russia, Anastasia. She asks about my son all the time. And I ask her about her kids, and she's big into motocross, you know.
See?
Normal people like us.
And we got friends and family from all over this world here. There's wonderful people in Scotland and Ireland and Canada, everywhere that you can possibly name, all these different other nations. And they're wonderful people. And so you talk to them, and they talk about peace, hope, and love. But if you listen to the mainstream media, Russia's a bad guy. Russia's out to get us, right? Well, maybe there's a faction in Russia. Might be their actual government that's corrupt. But I know for a fact these folks, financially, they don't want to go toe-to-toe with the United States at the moment as far as going to war, because they might not fare so well. Now, they might be able to recruit China to go come against the Russia and China as an ally, you know, to attack the United States. It could or couldn't happen. It just depends. But I don't even think that even China wants to go to war with us. They're making too much money off of us right now. Russia's probably making too much money off of us right now. So you got all this political arguing, bickering back and forth. You got mainstream media demonizing the Russians, demonizing the China, pitting us against them, preparing us for the day we go into Iran or China or Russia, you know, telling us, oh, they're coming to get you, they're coming to get you. That's the same thing they did in every single conflict prior to where we're at right now. And now, not only that, they got us pitted against each other.
Yeah, that goes back to the locals, like back to the Tupac deal. I mean, that guy pretty much, I mean, granted, he cussed a lot in his music, but he had a lot of good heart behind what he was talking about. And look what happened to him. You know, nobody knows except for the people that did it.
Yep. Well, either way, they got us right now. The scenario that looks like it's playing out from all the information coming in every direction is that they pushed the American people into a civil war. And during that civil war, when things get completely out of hand and all the average Joes are wanting peace and they're wanting safety, they will allow the United Nations troops, other foreign troops on our soil to come in and help to bring about the peace. But the problem is, when they come in, it's over. There's no constitution anymore. Things aren't going to be the same as they were before everything started. And if you go watch that video series, Jericho, then, and you watch it from start to finish, and you see how the thing started, and then see how it played out, it is like identical to what you see going on with the manipulation that is the mainstream media and the government propaganda. They're trying to say Korea bombed the United States, and basically all that time while they... you know, you hear all that stuff on the news about Korea and nuclear weapons. That was to gear you up, get you ready for it. And that clean hands doctrine you mentioned earlier, Barbara, they told you they was going to do it. And they showed you in Jericho what they was going to do and how it was going to play out. Ain't that crazy?
Yeah. I remember that movie.
Yeah. I suggest if you haven't seen it for yourself, people listening in, go watch that entire series from start to finish. And if you don't come out the other side thinking that you don't want any part of Civil War, then, you know, you learned a lesson from that movie. Because what ended up happening is you had neighbor against neighbor, brother against brother, and so on down the line. You had every single township and village all locked down. You had people fighting from one town to the next. There were supposedly like 10 presidents of the United States and multiple armies, and these two major ones finally did battle, and the one that actually came in there as the savior were the ones who perpetrated the false flag to begin with. I think I just spoiled the series.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then the deal was, when the school books came out and the teachers who were been teaching for years read these histories of the school books, they weren't nothing like what it was before. They changed the history.
Well, it's like when I went to school, they never taught us about Tesla.
No, they didn't.
They're changing the history books now.
Yeah.
There are several lawsuits being put against publishers for posting or publishing incorrect, erroneous history and actually omitting history, rewriting history. There's quite a few of these little in different states. These people are bringing these suits against these publishers of these books and these school systems for bringing these history books in that are not teaching the history that we knew. But then again, guys, when you look at it, the history has always been written for us, not about us.
Yeah.
You know, everything that's out there, the Rothschild thing that Barb and I talked about last week and posted the links, that he said it so well. You know, there's not a single book, there's not a book of words written anywhere that is real. It's all been manufactured for us.
Well,
to keep us in this construct.
That's what I say, you know? When I say if any one book in this world is questionable because it was written by man, then all books are questionable because they were written by man. And so when we sit around and we argue with each other about information, oh, no, you're wrong and I'm right, I heard this on that and I saw this, and the fact is, you don't know who wrote that. And you don't know why they wrote it. It might be wrote specifically tailored for you. You see what I'm saying? What do you think of that, Pat?
Well, it's specifically written to make sure that the generations... And, you know, I've said it takes three generations to wipe out a history, a culture. Within three generations, if we don't ourselves become proactive in sharing our history with each other, our three generations from now will not be able to recall that history.
Yep.
If it's not given to them, then we cannot guarantee that three generations from now they will know what we were talking about today.
There could come
a time. What was happening today.
There could come a time, unless somebody bootlegs these or copies all these podcasts, there could come a time in history where nobody could accidentally stumble on to a show like we're doing right now. That these words that we're speaking right now could actually be deleted from the system. Now, artificial intelligence could seek us out by the tone of our voice and delete every single file and basically erase the history of this conversation right now.
That's what the cloud is all about, Shaziz. The cloud that they are creating. Pretty soon your PC and your laptop will be obsolete.
Yeah.
You will be a part of the cloud, and everything that you do, say, write, everything will be part of that cloud. And you will have the ability to go and snatch it out of there and look at it, but it's not yours anymore. And when they decide to take it out, it will be gone. Yeah. Only what they allow in that cloud will be there. They have control of the cloud. We don't. It's a data storage.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I keep telling everybody, if you see any information that you like on this internet, You need to download it. You need to hard copy it, print it out, whatever you can do to ensure, because I guarantee you, mark my words, this is going to be a prophetic word here. I'm going to say this as if I'm watching the future unfold before my very eyes. One day, this internet will go down. Mark my words, it will completely go down. You will not be able to get online. When you try to fire it up, it'll say there's no connection. And then several days later, after everybody's already freaking out because they can't get on to check their email or contact their friends and family while they're all freaking out, suddenly the internet will come back up online. But when it does, you're going to log in a separate way that you ever did before, and you're going to have an identification number to get on that line. And there's going to be a lot of people who's going to sign on to that deal, and they're going to go online. But the moment you do, you're going to get sucked in.
It'll all be chip control.
Yep. And by gosh,
your social credit system will allow you, according to your behavior, will allow you certain access. If you don't have the right social credit, you will not be able to access certain parts.
That's it.
You will not be able to access certain parts of society. This is written. This is real. It's documented. You know, they've talked about it. This is what they're implementing right now in China. They tried to implement it in Venezuela. And there are several other countries that they are actually... And even here in the U.S., this new federally recognized ID that you get now when you're going to your local driver's license place to get your driver's license.
Yeah.
You have to step through the hoops. And if you don't have that little star on your driver's license, then you are not, by 2020, I think it was, you will not be allowed in a federal building. You will not be allowed to go to certain buildings and to access transportation in certain places. You won't be able to get passports, things like this. And it's all because this push toward this global system. And it doesn't matter. All these things that are going on in our country right now with the political and in whatever nation you're in. I saw Angel. I'm listening to you, Angel. Whatever nation you are part of, you're all coming under the same rule, the same guys. They're pushing it all. And none of this political stuff really has any meaning except for to keep us at each other's throats, because none of this really matters in the future they're creating. There won't be political systems in the future we're creating. There won't be any factions that are for the right or for the left or reds or blues. It'll all be one. You won't have an option to vote. You know, if you look at 2030 agenda, there will be what they call governors that will be placed over the different regions of the world, and they will all sit on the board of governors that will be created in this new construct that will be a global government.
Well,
so you don't have representation. You have a governor who will do the bidding of the globalists, who will institute everything that the globalists will ask them to institute. And so your rights, you know, rights, they're expendable. Well, you only have them as long as you're willing to fight for them. And when it comes to the point where you no longer have the ability to fight, you no longer have rights. There we go.
Well, you have the Creator's law as your right and your connectedness to, you know, that source and that spirit and your free will. You know, I mean, this is, again, what they're doing is they're rebuilding the matrix to be more controlling and more, you know, overall to really be controlling, where a lot of people won't be able to get out. They will not. Well, a lot of people don't identify that they have free will to begin with, and they have no relationship to source. And that was deliberate. They have no relationship to the earth, no connectedness to their true nature, which is nature itself.
I think we ought to take an example from the Matrix and I want to give people a ray of hope when it comes to this internet. There's existing technology and even old technology that we could quite literally be able to stay in communications with one another. A long time ago, the modems used in what's called an acoustic coupler. And essentially, acoustic coupler was, it would use the phone, you'd take your phone and you pick it up off the receiver and set it down on the acoustic coupler, and the microphone and the speaker on there would transmit these screes and blees that you hear on the old style modems. That information was all that the other side needed in order to translate that information back into data. You can still do that to this very day. You could use like old Citizens Band radios and an old acoustic coupler. You have to have two of them. One is a transmitter on one channel and a receiver on the other channel. And if the other person on the other side had the exact same setup, you'd have wireless internet via that particular system. They also, right now, there is technology available that actually turns the power line, your plug-in in your wall, and the actual power line into the equivalence of like cable TV or internet, you know, wired internet. You can transmit a signal over a signal. So at 60 hertz is what our electricity is going at right now. You can transmit a frequency at any hertz range above or below 60 hertz right down that same power line. That will cause a disruption in that current so that when on the opposite side, the computer can translate that information back into data again. So we have the technology available that if we started right now, we could actually build an internet so that when this internet went down, before it came back up, we could already still be communicating with one another, just like we do right now, but on a different spectrum. And when that internet did come up, we'd have something to measure against. The information that we stored from prior to the internet going down, as opposed to the information that is going to be presented to us at the other end. You see what I'm saying? We have what we need. It's just about a matter of whether we want to implement it or not. Whether or not we got to stay in communication.
What you become at that time is a subversive. Yeah. You become Aldous Huxley, A Brave New World, and you get a look at, you know, that's another thing that we haven't talked about, the drugging of the people. That's a big part of what is coming, and they're going to be, there's new systems that they've got these nanobots now that they are working on, and there's a lot of support in the medical establishment to create these medications that are, they have the nanobots in the pills themselves. And what these nanobots do is they get into the brain and they will decide on what chemicals the brain produces. So if you are considered a radical, they'll give you this little pill. And these little nanobots will go into your bloodstream. They will go past the blood-brain barrier. They will begin to multiply, and they will control your emotions.
So at that stage,
if you're a radical, they're going to lobotomize you with nanobots.
Well, one thing in Aldous Huxley's The Brave New World, there were those percentages that were pilled every day, and they were the slaves, they were the enslaved. And then there were those that were the savages, they called them the savages, who were out on the land living as best they could, you know. It was like a wild west out there, I suppose, but there were good people out there, and these people denied that system and stepped away from the system, so they were not in the enslaved system on that level. You know, so the point is, I guess, if you're looking at these movies and these books that, you know, are clean hands giving us a heads up on what's coming or what we're going to be inundated with, I'm looking at the savages. I'm a savage. You know, that's where I am. Because I do still believe strongly
that... savage.
Yeah, I'm a savage woman. Savage old granny. Savage granny.
Well, I think we're all savages.
Wait, let me finish. I do believe that we are powerful. I do believe it is our spiritual relationship that that creates this power and this ability to discern, you know, what is disharmonious, what is dangerous, you know. And it's a frequency. I have to keep going to this frequency. I still feel strongly that that frequency and our connectedness to Source is the protective aspect that we need to align ourselves with, you know. And ultimately, no matter what happens, in the end, when we're no longer in the physical, that's what's going to matter, how we walked our life here. Were we a good person? Did we lend a hand? Were we compassionate? Were we loving? Even with all the mess and the nightmare around us, we still have the free will to choose to be in that frequency, that higher frequency. And ultimately, when this is all done, this big school, this big test, what is going to really matter?
Well, I'm not sure until we get to the other side, but what I can guarantee each and every one of you listening, we're all in the same exact boat. And so if you're over there poking holes in the boat because you're angry at somebody's other difference of opinion, guess what? You're sinking too. So we should be patching the holes in the boat, and we should be really seriously right now on alert for things to share information with each other, because the times, the clock is ticking. Quite literally, the clock is ticking. Our time, as far as being able to steer this boat in a different direction, if the system plays out like I said about the internet, and the internet goes down, comes back up, the control factor is there. We don't even have the option to talk to each other like we did before. We wouldn't be able to say what we're saying right now and get by with it.
We're supposed to be developing ourselves into a higher frequency of enlightenment, where telepathy was the key piece. Telepathy is really important because we had that ability. It was given to us. It's given to everyone.
Well, we should be trying that right now so that we can be prepared when the internet goes down. Ain't no big deal. We'll just keep on talking.
That reminds me of this documentary that I was trying to show you several years back, that history's not what we think. It kind of ties into that.
Yeah. Well, we could
have... Well, I think we'll have to answer to, did we help plug the boat? Did we continue speaking? Did we continue to do our work? Did we continue to share? Did we continue to create, spread love and light and harmony and balance and peace? Did we continue that? You know, it's not about to just give up because they're dishing this stuff out. And, oh, well, we can't do anything. I don't believe that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we do have a power beyond our imagining. You have to step into it, and you have to know what that is, and you have to be that.
Well, the first step to that is realizing that this world isn't all that there is. There's a whole lot more. Even in science, they tell you, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go?
We've been told what this world is. We've even been told what we are, what we as a human are, but that's all a lie. We're not just some mass of blob of muscle, bone, and whatever.
But what I'm saying is the fact that what they're saying in science is true, then we've been around for eons. We've always been here, and we ain't going nowhere. And so with that said, there could have been multiple histories that we weren't privy to, and the reason why they kept us out in the dark was because if we ever found out who we truly were and what we were truly capable of, the system itself couldn't sustain it. They couldn't control.
It couldn't exist. It shouldn't exist. But we've played into their game.
Yep.
The majority of people have been basically lied to and accept that lie. They believe what they're told about history. They believe what they're told about the universe. They believe that what they're told about themselves. And they're caught.
One day, this journey will be over for all of us. We'll get to the other end, and we'll find out the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But in the meantime, if we don't figure out a way to get control of the system that's controlling us, then all these things that we don't like, it's gonna escalate. It's.
Well, I'm not gonna use the word control. I think it's about awakening, about what the lies, awakening about. about who we truly are if we don't do that.
You mean on their on their part about the control or our part about awakening?
Yeah, I believe. I don't think it's about we have to get control. I think we have to awaken and participate from that awakened level.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so we have a different awareness of what we did before. Like, you know, those folks out here that run around tiptoeing through the tulips, totally oblivious to what the government's saying and just repeat everything like parrots to everybody they see. And that's what the tool is that they use to keep everybody fighting against each other. Oh, I can't stand Trump. He's a racist. Well, maybe he is, but I don't think that's the reason for you to want to get violent on me. Let's just talk about this. How do we get him out of office if he's really that bad of a person? Let's do some research. Let's work together. Let's make it happen because nobody wants corruption.
I'm going to refer back to the Rothschild and his disclosure about things. He said this everything that's happening is meant to happen. Doesn't mean, you know, you should participate in that level in what they're doing to us. It's about your awakening. And all the, let's look at it this way. All the people doing research about the ETs, about the government control, about the brainwashing, about MK, all the people, the final conclusion that they come to, just like we have, is this is a spiritual war. This is about you becoming in alignment with the spirit within you and with source, because that is a frequency beyond our understanding and of the power of that.
Yep. Exactly.
So supposing everything that's happening here is meant to happen, supposing, this is what the Rothschild was saying, he's saying this is all agreed to function and happen this way, we all signed up for this. We signed up to be here during this, you know, insanity.
Well,
We signed up to change this frequency.
With that said, then that means the four of us and everyone listening in right now is doing our job. That we're doing the best that we can with what's going on. Am I right?
You're right. The key thing is to not be in fear and not believe that they're winning and not believe that they're more powerful than we are.
Well, there's another thing, too, that I want to bring up. You know, we sit here and we're divisive, not say we. Let's just say the people across the globe are divisive. You've got two sides, one that says socialist agenda, one that says free market capitalist agenda, and these are the two things that are playing across each other. Here's the truth of the matter. Is that both sides have excellent points and are right in certain aspects. There are things that we can do. There should not be homeless people. There should not be children that are suffering.
That's right.
There should not be people who can't speak freely. There should not be people who should be forced to do what it is they don't want to do. So we've got both sides of the argument here fighting against each other, but nobody's saying there are commonalities between the two sides that we can bring together.
Well, the left wing and the right wing are on the same bird.
Well, there are commonalities, you're right. Yeah.
Yes, there are, but we're not concentrating on them. We've got this line drawn down the middle, and you cannot cross that line.
Yeah.
If you are, then you're bashed by your own side, and there shouldn't be a side. See, this is the thing that it seems to be escaping everybody, is that we have been divided, and there's no reason for it, because we all have good points about what is wrong. We haven't come together yet to discuss how to fix the things that are wrong. And we can do this. We could do this. We have the ability to do this. But there's a corporate structure in the way. There's a socialist structure in the way. There's a free market structure in the way. And they are the ones that keep pushing the dividing lines. They won't. Why are they fighting so hard to keep us from coming together? It must be because there are solutions that will work for everyone, and we're not looking at them.
If you take the
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you take the symbolism of the American eagle, the left wing and the right wing are on the same bird. If you can get those two wings to work together, that bird becomes a powerful entity. We could go around and we could feed people. We could shelter people. We got enough people out there working tax money and money. The America is a wealthy nation. We could buy ourselves. Fix a lot in this world. We couldn't fix it all, but if we had other nations that were willing to work with us, and they would put their left and right paradigm down, and that is used to keep them divided all the time, imagine how much good that we could do. We can amass powerful armies to go over and mop somebody into the Stone Age and destroy their lives, take out what they like to classify as collateral damage. That word in itself should be a red flag to everyone. A person innocent on just because they happen to be near a terrorist, they're collateral. Oh, well, we're sorry that they lost their life, but we had to get this bad guy because he was killing people. Well, what'd you just do? You see what I'm trying to say here? That unity that you're talking about, Patty, that's the only way that we're ever going to be able to resolve this thing. You know, when the social justice warriors are talking about feeding hungries and they're mad at the capitalist system, they're thinking about rich people getting rich and poor people getting poorer, they're not thinking about the big picture. If they would actually step back and see, we got more in common than we do to fight about. And if we actually took the resources available and held our leaders to account for their actions, we could get projects implemented that we could all afford, that we could all agree on, that aren't racist. You know, that's the stupid wall.
And
go ahead.
Yeah, well, there are easy fixes.
Yeah.
For the people who are homeless, there are easy fixes for the people who have no food, the people, the famines that are happening. All of these things that are happening have been created.
Yep.
They've been manufactured by governing bodies of elitists who have their own agenda that they have been promoting. Yep. And we've known this forever. We've known that they've been doing this forever. Yet we, the people, have the ability. We have the solutions. We talk about them all the time. People implement them all the time. That are cures for what ails us. Yet we get so caught up in the pulp fiction that is dribbled to us every day, and we become owners of it.
Yep.
We take it upon ourselves as if this was our ideas, as if we're the ones who created these things. And so we feel like, oh my gosh, look what I've done. There's nothing I can do to change it. It's all so bad. It's all so out of control. I have no control. And then we get mad at each other because, well, your fault too. It's your fault because you're doing it this way. And it's your fault because you're doing it that way. And you won't stop and do it my way. So this is why we're in the way.
Yep.
And it's all just, it's a bunch of kids running amok.
Well, that's the game, and that's deliberate. And so let's say we talk about solutions, and some of us are actively working with solutions, but let's say the majority of people are so stuck in the hate mongering that they're blaming everybody else for the problems, instead of awakening to the fact that that's part of the plan, is to get is to keep them pitted against each other and not even able to realize there are solutions.
Well, you don't burn your own community down and teach the government a lesson. It's like, You wonder why you ain't got a job, but if I was a business owner and you burnt my building down and looted and pillaged my things that I was trying to sell to earn a living, why would I want to keep my store in your neighborhood?
Well, people can't find solutions because they're dumbed down and brainwashed to believe that there are no solutions, that it's hopeless and they're helpless, and the other people are to blame, so they're fighting the other people.
Yep.
And that's their
And it's like we say, yeah, and it's like we say, well, there's racism. Well, yeah, there is, but where'd it come from?
Yeah, who's
responsible?
Jerry Springer. Well, folks,
how do you change? How do you change it?
Do
you change it by calling out the other side constantly for being racist? Or do you sit down and say, wait a minute, who started this bullcrap in the first place?
Yeah, Jerry Springer.
And why are we continuing it? We don't have to continue it. We really don't. We have that choice, but we don't feel empowered enough for some reason to stand up and tell this authority that they no longer...
Bugger off.
Yeah. Well, folks, it's that time again to go around the table, and it's been a fascinating show. I mean, I'm blown away every time we get together because this show kind of takes on a life, and it's the part where I don't like to sign off. I could sit here all day long and do this, but after all, it is Father's Day, and I got a son, and I need to spend some time with him because I love him.
Happy Father's Day.
And since he's the newest knight of the round table, if you ladies don't mind, I might want to have him give his last words of wisdom, what he thinks to everybody before we head up out of here. And I'm also going to play a couple songs on the way out, so we're actually going to run a little bit over than we planned anyway. I'm going to play a couple songs, one from a friend that he shared with me. I really like the song, and it's pertinent to all the things we talk about. And then something for me personally, Lynyrd Skynyrd's Simple Man, because it reminds me of the message that my mom bestowed upon my heart, and it's the reason why I think that I've done a pretty good job of being a dad to my son. I love my son.
It's a good song.
And so as long as you remain humble in your life and understand there's more to this world than meets the eye, there might be a higher power. So don't discount it until you look into it. You know, we don't know what name or what it might be, he or she. Look, don't fight about that. We'll get there. We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, Mark, you got any words of wisdom you'd like to share with everybody?
Really, I just want to share my favorite line from Pink Floyd, and that's, together we stand, divided we fall.
Yep, that's a good sound.
You know, and I think that's something we really need to live by, honestly.
Well, and that's what this world really seriously needs. It needs unity. We got to stop fighting over things that are insignificant in the grand scheme of things. So which one of you ladies want to go first?
Go ahead, sis.
Well, I just want to say you guys are awesome, and it's wonderful to hear your son. I was wondering, who is that? it just goes to show, Shaziz, that your heart and your mind and your love has really created a beautiful family. I love your family, and thank you for that. And to all those people out there listening, to all the fathers out there, have a beautiful, happy, wonderful day. You know, here's the thing, is that no matter what we talk about, no matter how many times we come together, there's one thing that we can assure you of, and I think I can speak for everybody, that we come here because of love, that we come here because we do think that we can make a difference. And as long as we stand together instead of throwing stones, we can make that difference. It's all to us. It's all what we each individually do that creates the whole. And if we come from a place of love and of acceptance and tolerance, we can do this. It doesn't matter what we're up against, it only matters what we do. And with that, live, love, laugh, guys, and stand strong. Love you.
Your words and your actions show your true inner beauty, and that picture that you got on your Skype, it warms my heart every single time I see it. You got a wonderful soul, lady, a heart of gold, and I'm just so blessed to have you in my life. It's awesome. So what about you, Barbara?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Hey, yeah, well, it's so good to be here again. I love our Sunday roundtables, and certainly wonderful to meet your son. It says a lot about you, just my listening to him and seeing the beautiful relationship that you two have, and what he's, you know, what he's been learning from his dad, you know, very special. And have so much love for you, Shaziz, and absolutely, of course, for my sister, too. And You know, I feel that we are here at an extraordinary time. I don't feel defeated. I don't feel hopeless. I don't feel helpless because I don't believe any of us are. I think this is just the message they want us to believe, and they're working hard at that. And we do have the solutions, and we've talked about a lot of them. But, yeah, the main thing I do want to emphasize again is energy and frequency of the choices that we make in life and what we think about, you know, that's a power we have. And yeah, if you want to change things, just fill your heart with love and gratitude, and you become that, you know, pebble into the pond that emanates that beautiful love and, you know, that energy that is a powerful, powerful frequency. That alone can change things. We may not see the changes. We may not actualize things in our timeline, but we are able to affect things, whether it's now or later or coming down the pike. Everything that we do, the words we speak, our thoughts, the frequency energy that we hold and emanate, has a power and universal law. If you look at the, you know, the ancient way, the knowledge and the wisdom that they are using, you know, against us, they know the power of word and the power of the frequency and how it does change things. So, yeah, I guess I'd just say it's an awesome time to be here, and I'm very grateful to be here every Sunday with you guys. And thank you, everybody in the chat, for sticking with us. And keep your light shining. Yeah, that's all.
Wonderful words. I'll tell you what, we are so blessed. You know, I'm sitting next to one of the greatest miracles that ever happened in my life. My son.
Beautiful. Yeah.
This boy right here and his sister and his brother and all of my family are the reason I do what it is that I do. Because I love them so much, I want to see a world that is different than the one that I had to contend with. I want that for your family. I want that for your children. I tell people we are the founding fathers of our children's future. The stones that we lay down will determine the path that they have to walk. And I think that we have the power right now. Like Barbara said, that, you know, we plant these seeds. We may never be able to see the fruits of our labor, but the thing that we leave behind for those children will determine how their life is going to be from that point on. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I am so honored and humbled every time I see my son. I see the best of me in my son, and I'm so proud. Happy Father's Day to you. And let me tell you one thing about Father's Day. It doesn't matter if you're the biological father. If you do that job, if you're a lady and you do that job, some single parents, mom is mom, and mom is also has to be dad. It's the person that does that job that I consider to be the father of that child. And if you're a good father and you bring that child up with love in his heart, you can't go wrong. You'll have a son like the one I got, or a daughter. You know, and I just can't even begin to tell you that miracle, that one miracle of many miracles that I've experienced through my life, is the reason why I do what I do, and it's the reason why I love my family with everything that I am. And if I can put that seed out there, like Barbara and Patty say all the time, that positive ripple in the pond, and it makes your life better, then I think I've done my job here. I think that I've done all right. So I'm going to stand on my soapbox for those folks out there that think I'm on a soapbox. I'm going to stand up here on my rant, and I'm going to tell the world the way I see it, in hopes that maybe something I say will inspire them to want to go out and do something nice to somebody. Don't look at that homeless man as if he's dirty and filthy and might be on drugs. Look at that homeless man as if he was your brother or your child. And your friend, your family. Help that man. You know, for whatever reason the media wanted to tell you, or the system wanted to tell you, that this man is just going to go buy drugs, or he's probably got a fancy car or a house and he's just ripping you off. Don't even think about it. Just help that man. You'll know you did the right thing. And I think that's what we can do to the world. We can help this world help itself. We can be the good caretakers we were meant to be. So with all that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If anything in this show inspired you whatsoever, if you found some humor, some happiness, something good that you want to share this show, please download this podcast, share it around, take out the pieces you like, throw away the pieces you don't. Just get the information out there. Tell people that if you want to come and have your voice heard, Shaziz Radio, People for People Radio Network, and all the other affiliated networks are the place that you need to be. And I think together, with that type of unity and the type of common goal in mind that we want to make our world a better place, we're going to do exactly just that. In my book of faith, Jesus said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. You could talk to that mountain. You could tell it to move, and it would quite literally move. I believe those words with all that I am. That's why I do what I do. I love each and every one of you. Peace and love. I'm going to play you out of here with a couple tunes. One that my friend from People for People Radio Network, Gary, shared with me. And I'm going to play Simple Man because that's the message that my mama gave me. And I think I kind of gave it to my son. What do you think?
Oh,
yeah. All right. Love everybody. Do the best you can with what you got to work with. And always remember that you're not alone and you're not helpless. Peace and love.
Set upon an argument, I believe we place our happiness in other people's hands. I believe the junk food tastes so good because it's bad for you. I believe your parents did the best job they knew how to do. I believe that beauty magazines promote low self-esteem.
You don't know what you Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. Impersonate Clark Gable. It's a busy life in Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Terrible. All those who are King Shazir's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.